What's up, people? Welcome to the Eastern Lariat. I'm your host, Dylan Fox. Striga, much like last week, is on vacation. Well, last week he was going on, he went to a show, actually, in England, and now he's in the ocean somewhere, or on the ocean somewhere, having fun, doing big things. We miss you, Striga. Cannot wait for you to get back, especially since we're going to do some stuff for the Half Year Awards. It's going to be fun. But on this show, we are going to be talking about All Together Again, the 2023 incarnation of the two shows they ran back in 2011 and 2012 for charity, for the All Together shows with All Japan, New Japan, and NOAH coming together. And for that, I went to reach for my special guest, somebody I knew I could trust to bring the flavor for not just his main squeeze, NOAH, but also for all of the companies and all the people we are going to talk about today. And of course, that means I have to go to Dean, my favorite person to talk about NOAH with. It's great to have you on, man.
Hey, Dylan. Thank you very much. I'm really excited. This is a fun show. I love, like, the vibe of All Together. Like, it's just, like, such a cool idea. And as someone who watches all three promotions, to see wrestlers interact is always just – it gets a pop out of me every time. So I thought the show was great, and I'm really excited to talk to you about it.
Absolutely. We were going to be joined originally by Squill. He has his YouTube channel, Wrestling with the Narrative, which is really cool. He does a couple of, like, wrestling, not biography type of deals, but makes some videos about some people. He had his latest video about Roosh. He couldn't be here today. Something came up in the last minute, but we'll do something with him in the future. I was on one of his videos, actually, about Timothy Thatcher. Very brief mention. It wasn't just, I wasn't that much of a part of it, but watch his videos because he's really talented. I can't wait to get him on again. But with that said, Dean, it's just us, and we are talking about all three promotions and the show, as you said, All Together, a concept that came about years ago. Striga actually read the card when this show got announced. We had done a show years ago, fantasy booking All Together shows, and I think we both cheated, it's safe to say, in our fantasy booked ones compared to how it actually played out. But this show was a big deal when it got announced, obviously, as it should be. A lot's been made of wrestling in Japan in terms of after the pandemic, because we're starting to see a lot of the restrictions are now getting lifted in Japan. Obviously, in America, they kind of got lifted a long time ago, but Japan is now getting there. This show was at Sumo Hall. It did 6,569 fans, which to me is a very disappointing number, to be honest with you. I think that's not what they were aiming for. It's like barely above Sakura Genesis, or whatever they called it, in that New Japan pay-per-view in April where Sonata beat Okada. But a lot of that is, I talked about this on the Patreon when I was talking about Dominion, a lot of the ticket prices have gone way up in the past year. They're kind of having their own, if you're an American person like us, I know you're very familiar with the term inflation, because it gets said all the time here in America.
Yeah.
But it's happening in Japan as well, and it's really hard. They took it really hard in a lot of ways. So the number is a down one. It's been said, too, I was reading Hisame, she's like a NOAH expert on Twitter. She was speculating that some fans thought that maybe it being on a weekday was kind of a hampering too of it.
Yeah.
Because this did take place on Friday in Japan as well. So that could have caused something. But regardless of that, though, it's more so an overall statement of Japan right now, the economy of wrestling in Japan, that you can kind of keep your eyes on when it comes to people moving and leaving companies and things like that. But the show itself, obviously, All Japan, New Japan, NOAH, they've sent all of their guys outside of one match, which was a huge singles match that they put in. I think it was the dream match we all were asking for that they graced us with on this show. It was mainly multi-man tag matches. And you would see maybe one match would be, you know, like the Axis match with Hokutomori and Kojima. They kind of paired it as All Japan versus NOAH, even though Kojima is technically a New Japan guy. In reality, he's more like an All Japan guy at this point. You had like the Chaos team versus the Tough team, which was a NOAH versus New Japan. And in the main event, they had all of the three main guys of their companies, New Japan, NOAH, and All Japan, put tagged together and then maybe feud with their rival on the other team, pretty much. And the same thing they kind of did with the junior heavyweights, too. in the semi-main event. They would have three main guys and then their rival player on the other team. So that's more or less the breakdown of how the show works. There wasn't like a huge amount of storylines or anything, except for the main event, which obviously was built around Kaito and Okada. And we're going to talk a little bit about that at the end of the show and a lot of the things they were doing there. But with that said, Dean, you watched the whole show, correct?
Yep. I watched it twice, actually.
You watched it twice. You couldn't get enough of
the
show.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure, you know, I got all my details right. But, yeah, I watched. Okay, well, I skipped a couple matches on the second watch. I'm not going to watch Yoshitatsu single match. It's not going to happen again. But, yeah, overall, I thought it was a great show.
They tricked you once. They will not fool you again. Did you watch the opener twice? The 8-man tag with Black Mensa Ray, Ryo Inoue, Ryusuke Taguchi, and Yo. So you had participants from both All Japan and New Japan. They took on the NOAH team of Alejandro, Atsushi Kotage, Seki Yoshioka, and Super Crazy. So, like, all of my guys, and then Super Crazy is thrown in there as well. Did you watch this twice, or was once enough?
No, I did watch this twice because I just like kicked off the second viewing and I was like, let me start from the beginning. And it really kind of made me like, I was like, man, NOAH did not get a lot in this show. Like,
yeah.
Why did you have to job Kotage out to the team that has, you know, a young trainee and two comedy guys? You couldn't at least get a win over, you know, Taguchi. Like, and so that kind of set it up for how the rest of the night was going to go. But, you know, it was, they tried to get the crowd amped up, but, it was, you know, nothing too, crazy, but definitely it was like a sign of things to come.
That's true. I will say that I love like Yoshioka and Kotage. They're probably my two favorite, NOAH juniors outside of Amakusa as well. He would be in a bigger match, than them, obviously. Alejandro is another guy that I think is super talented, and under, you know, they just, these guys don't get the chances, that others do, unfortunately. Kotage's had runs in the past. He's kind of a veteran at this point, but the other two don't get chances. And they're one of those things where you see here an all NOAH team going down to the New Japan and All Japan team. Like you said, you have Inoue, who is a wonderful worker, even though he is a rookie. Mensa Ray, I like too, but is a comedy geek as well. And Taguchi, he is definitely someone who wrestles in matches, but, well, he did beat Kushida in the Best of Super Juniors at the final, so he got one win at least, which may be more than you might expect. But regardless, like you said, Yo pinned Kotage. Yo is kind of a guy they do build up in New Japan, at least, I will say that. But yeah, like you said, I mean, there were better choices, to be honest, than Kotage to eat the fall here. But then we go to the match was all right. Like I said, you get a lot of entertaining and funny guys. Kotage, he came from OPRO, you know, Super Crazy. He's nuts. So it's like you get a lot of funny comedy guys in there with some decent wrestling as well. And it led to the match that, to me, was one of my most anticipated matches. And then it's like, oh, you're putting it in the opening spot of the show here? Like, this is one of the highlight matches on paper to me, which was Tomohiro Ishii, Hirooki Goto, and Yoshihashi. All my favorites in New Japan teaming together from Chaos, obviously. They took on the NOAH team of the Tough, Masaaki Tamiya, and Yoshiki Inamura. They teamed up with Daiki Inaba. And, yeah, it was good. But short and not as great as I wanted it to be.
Yeah, 8.5 minutes. I don't know. I love the concept. Like, we've talked about how Bishamon and Kitamiya and Inaba, there's some parallels there. I think they like kind of fill a similar role and they have like similar vibes. And one of the cool things about these shows I always think is like, hey, let's take these like guys that are like sort of similar and match them up. Like, it's easy booking and it's like fun if you're a fan of both promotions or all three promotions. And so I thought like this was, you know, great for an 8.5 minute match, but you're not going to get too much in that amount of time. And it made me really want to see more of this interaction, like whether like pretty much any permutation of a singles match here between any of these, you know, three guys versus the other three would be cool to me. And I really would love to see like a Bishamon versus Kitamiya and Inaba match just straight up, because I think that that would be really cool. Like, they have a similar dynamic. And so I was a little disappointed too, like you said, because it was so short. But and Noah taking the fall again, you know, and Abba is there to be the job guy.
Yeah, nobody questions the talent of any of these guys. I thought of everybody. To me, Kita Mia was the one trying to make this as much as it could be. I thought he had great interactions with everybody. The New Japan guys, they're all class performers. When Ishii was in, he did great stuff too. All three of them again. And these three on New Japan, the great thing about them is that they're among the best at getting the crowd involved in their matches, especially Yoshihashi and Ishii. And I thought that really worked in their favor. Kita Mia worked great. Inamura, him and Ishii had a great spotlight too, which, you know, all too short, obviously, but you know the talent level is so high with them. What do you think about them switching partners for Kita Mia from Inaba to back to Inamura? Because I really thought they had something with Inaba. And, I mean, I like the tough, don't get me wrong, but I felt like they had a lot of momentum and it just kind of went nowhere.
Yeah, that's a good point. Their tag run just kind of fizzled out. They lost the belts to Real, right? They're sent Thatcher and Huxley, and they're not around for the last, you know, month or so. I like the Tough a lot because I like that they're an established team. I was just like looking on Cage Match for them, and they've done like a tag league in 2019, and they were in Congo for a little bit.
Yep.
And so I like that they're like, you know, more sort of established, but I don't know. Like, I guess it's also good because, like, I think now there's a chance that they could win the tag titles because they're facing Thatcher and Huxley.
Yep.
And it would be cool for Inamura to get a title in Noah. So that's like a plus. But then, like, it leaves Inaba back to being just like a undercard, you know, kind of job guy again. Yeah. So I don't know. I think there's pros and cons to either kind of pairing, but they were on a really good run that really just fizzled out, and I think it kind of sucks. Like, I think I don't know why they moved the tag belts, especially with, like, Axis being such a big part of Noah's main stories now. Like, why are the tag belts on Thatcher and Huxley just to be on ice? So, I don't know. I mean, I know we both really like the Kita Mia and Inaba team, but who knows? Maybe they'll get back together after, if the Tough don't win their tag challenge.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned them. I think Axis could be where those titles are headed at the end of the line. And maybe they'll drag it out, but I would expect that to happen pretty soon. I mean, how far can you go with Huxley as a champion? At the end of the day. I mean, I like Thatcher, don't get me wrong, but his team with Hideki was amazing. And this one's a little bit worse, I would say. Just a little bit, in my opinion. But, yeah, the match was okay. Like I said, I was really disappointed in it just because of my expectations. This was a show-stealing match on paper to me, and it wasn't that in reality. But a fine opener. The crowd was into it. The next match you had, the New Japan team. Again, New Japan and Noah back-to-back here. Zack Sabre Jr. and Kosei Fujita versus Chris Ridgeway and Sean Legacy. And this was a really strong match for Ridgeway here. Him and Zack had great interactions. And Legacy's a guy, I really like him in Noah, actually. I think this is another hidden gem type of person. And there's a lot that you can say about Noah in terms of booking, and their dojo has been talked about a lot recently. But when it comes to finding guys that nobody would have known and then getting something out of them, I mean, you see it with Jack Morris in the heavyweights. And I think Legacy is following along that path. I think he's a really talented guy. But Ridgeway stole the show to me when I finished watching this show. And all of my thoughts were on, you know, there was a couple of guys that stood out to me really big, and he was one of them. I thought he totally upgraded where he was. We were talking about it off the air. He's been in the middle of this Stinger stuff for so long that you see him here, and it's like, this is what we've needed. Like, this is what we needed from you, Ridgeway. We know you. We know you're great. And him versus Zach was like a great matchup. Fujita was good, too, and I was actually happy to see them get the win here. Even though Fujita is a young guy, I always get a little weary of New Japan versus any company, pretty much, interactions. But here, Ridgeway got the tap-out win over Fujita. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I listened back to the last time I was on, and we talked about Stinger, which is expected when you're talking about Noah, unfortunately. And I talked about how, like, the way I was able to tolerate it was just going into stinger mode and just, like, not really paying attention to what was happening. But I think over the last, like, 2 months, stinger mode has failed to protect me from how the story is progressing, because it's just been... I think I'm with you on the stinger take spectrum at this point, because I, like, forgot that Chris Ridgeway was this good of a wrestler, because all the stuff he's been doing the last few months is just, like, totally mired in this stinger soap opera that's never ending. And so it was, like, really refreshing to be like, oh man, like, I forgot that he can do this, but then also disappointing, 'cause, like, he's just still stuck in this never ending stinger story. And he's also, like, doing, like, they're, like, actually heels now. Like, I don't know if you've seen any of the Stinger house show matches over the last, like, month or two, but they're doing a lot of, like, bullshit, like, cheating and ref distraction and, like, ref bumps. And so it's, like, it's getting worse. Like, it's devolving even more. And, like, he's doing it. Like, he's the one that's, like, pulling the ref and, like, interfering in matches. And so it's, like, they're really just off the track with him now. And so he looked incredible versus Zach. And he's, you know, he wrestles like Zach. Like, this is another one of those matches where the bookers are just like, oh yeah, these two guys are similar. They're British. They're technical. Let's put them in. And I think Ridgeway's, like, even a better striker than Zach. Like, his kicks are really good. His slaps are nasty. And they would kill it in a singles match. And Ridgeway would kill it if he was outside of this, like, stinger universe, because he can wrestle that really good technical, hard-hitting style. So I'm with you. Like, it was cool to see him have, like, a nice match. But then at the end of the match, as a Noah fan, I was like, damn, like, now I got to remember that this guy is just going back to teaming with Daga and doing whatever. He's going to turn on Ogawa, but then he'll be friends with Ogawa later, and then Ita will turn on them, and it'll never end. It'll be, if I talk to you again in another show in like 18 months, there will still be a stinger soap opera going on.
Dean, those words you said about him doing the heel stuff, pulling the ref out, it makes me physically ill to think about this happening.
I'm telling you, I saw it. I watched the match, and I was like, this is really where they're going with this now. Because, like, Noah doesn't normally have heels, like, really. Like, guys will, like, maybe work heel a little bit where they'll, like, you know, be on top, like, in the control segment. But they're not. They don't have, like, a Bullet Club or a House of Torture or, like, since, like, Suzuki-Goon, basically. And I guess, like, Hooligans, we were talking about that before we went on. But, like, in the last 2 or 3 years, they haven't had, like, a heel stable that was, like, breaking the rules. But now Stinger is doing that. And I was like, it's just making the matches, like, that much worse, because it's, like, ref bumps, run-ins. It's, like,
yeah.
It's like
all this stupid, ridiculous. Yeah, this stupid, non-realistic stuff that doesn't ever help anybody. But somehow keeps doing it. It sometimes keeps happening in wrestling. But yeah, you know, the Hooligan stuff that lasted for a couple of months, and they quickly realized, oh wait, no, this sucks. Actually, we need to stop it. And then, like, half the guys were gone, and then Yohei and Hayata were teamed together again on that. But yeah, Suzuki-Goon, that almost killed the company legitimately as well.
Yeah,
taking over for a year. Led to the company getting sold. So I definitely would say somebody should have learned their lesson from those examples we listed, but they never do, so it's okay at the end. But yeah, hopefully that just dies. It just goes away. The Stinger-verse, the Ogawa-verse, we all need to exit it. And like you said, even you were nicer than most people, and I praise you for that. You know, thanks. I know that I've been hard on the Stinger-verse for a long time, but you were kind to them, and you really put in your best effort. But even you have your limits. We're all only human in this world, and we can only take so much of this storyline.
Yeah. I lasted as long as I could. I mean, like, but just seeing them, like, and they're all talented wrestlers outside of, like, I guess, I don't know a ton about Daga. I haven't seen much of him in Noah. That's been great.
Yeah.
And Leona is in the mix now too, which is like,
oh, yes. Yeah,
someone else I don't know a lot about, but I know his reputation and obviously his, you know, father and everything. But like, just like, I would just move them around. Like, I would put Ridgeway with Hideki and Thatcher and put him as like the Real Junior. Put Eita as just like Noah Junior heavy. Like, just separate them so they could work other people on the roster. Cause it's like truly bizarre how they only seem to be like wrestling mostly each other in weird permutations of like a new partner. And it's been going on now for like a very long time. Like, I mean, almost a year, I guess, with the story of betrayal and Eita and Ogawa and their friendship and their rivalry. And it just has to end. Like, if it doesn't end this year, it's going to be truly incredible. But yeah, otherwise, the match was good. Like, this was a really nice match. Like, I thought it was really great for 11 minutes. And yeah, like you said, Legacy looked cool. Like, I think he's like, he's, you know, he's coming along. He still kind of feels a little, I don't want to say like create a wrestler, but like, I need to get a little more something. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I haven't been super impressed, but I'm very curious and very supportive.
I think it's interesting he's listed as a junior. It feels like he's got some pretty nice size to him if they wanted to move him up as well. But I get what you're saying, although he does do the 450 splash, which is my move, so I have to be biased towards him a little bit. But no, he's. I get what you're saying. He's still early on. But again, Jack Morris, same way. When he came in, he wasn't. I'm pretty sure he did the 450 splash too, but he did it bad. And then I think they made him stop.
Yeah, he did a shooting star.
Oh, it was a shooting star. Yeah, and it went bad, and they stopped that, which was a very smart move. But Jack, he started off and he was okay, but he grew as time went along, and
that's true. Really
good, and I'm hoping the same thing for Legacy. He's already started off pretty good. I think he's a decent guy to bring in, and they need hands in that division and in the company just in general. Yeah, so I'm into him, and Ridgeway was phenomenal. To me, this is one of the better, like, matches. I think this was among the better ones on the show, in my opinion. I thought Fujita's still a young guy, still looked good, though, against him as well. Obviously, Zach and them looked really well together. So I appreciated it, and I liked what they did here. And then we go to the next one. I was going to say, too, Stinger has been going on way longer than a year. People forget, Kotage was actually in Stinger. At a point where he was involved in this turning on people and stuff as well. So we're talking 2-3 years at this point of this Stinger, different people getting filtered in and out. And now they're really bringing in a lot of outsiders with, like you said, Eita, Daga. I don't know. It's hard to speculate, only that you've joined everyone, I think, now in terms of hating Stinger, and justifiably so. One day we'll see a future without Stinger, and I hope that we can all live to see it. It's like the reverse bloodline of WWE. That's what this is for Noah. This is our bloodline, if you're a Noah fan.
Yeah.
It's Stinger. And, But Umino and Yoshitatsu, the one singles match on the show, you said you would not, you swore to yourself you would not watch a Yoshitatsu match twice.
Nah, yeah, this was, I mean, I don't know. I'm like not, I think some people are like really down on Shota, and I think I'm higher on him than some people. Mm-hmm. I see some potential there. I think that like he's still working it out, but you know, he's only been back full time. When did he came back like late 2022, right? With the Osprey match.
Yeah,
that,
like, November.
November.
Yeah. Yep.
So like, all right, we're talking 7 months. Like, he's done some cool stuff in this Okada story. I'm really curious about how his G1 is going to go, because there's a lot of interesting fresh matchups there, obviously, with the other young talent in his block. I'm not going to judge him based on a singles match with Yoshitatsu. It's just not, you know, that's a hard spot to be in. And for what it was at least tolerable at like 6 minutes. And, you know, he looks cool. He gives out his glow sticks and everything. And I don't know. I'm still like on the fence on him, but I think that like it's, you know, he definitely has potential to be really good. And he's had some good matches this year. I thought the match for Zack Sabre Jr. in the I was in the New Japan Cup, I think. And that was really good.
Yeah, they had two matches, but the New Japan Cup was the better one than the pay-per-view one, for sure. You know, Shota is fine. I definitely think he's gotten better with this Okada thing. And definitely having Moxley and BCC around has given him an extra bump. I think both of the six-man tags he was in, not only were they great matches, the one in America and the one in Japan, but he performed really well in them, too, as Okada's young rival. You know, basically the same thing they did with Kaito, just with him, pretty much. And I think that he's done a great job in that role. In terms of singles matches, I definitely think the Zach match was his best one. The rest were definitely iffy on. And I do think that another thing that I like about him and BCC, too, is that it kind of gets him away from, like, hey, I'm faux Muto trainee, like faux Tanahashi type of deal. He gets to show more than that, whereas sometimes he comes across kind of like, oh, poor man's Naito, poor man's Tanahashi, poor man's Stardust Genius, pretty much. But in this match, nobody could blame him for this. Yoshitatsu, I don't know why he was the one they chose for the singles match. I would love to know the thought process behind it. It's like, okay, we've got one singles match, All Japan, send over anybody that is not on the card. Because I think pretty much anybody, like, it should have been Inoue. Like, put Yoshitatsu in the opener and put Inoue versus Umino. Yeah, you could get something out of that.
Better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like that's weird.
He
looking
can
at
lose.
The card, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, Yoshitatsu politic right now. You should have put Yoshitatsu, if you're going to do a singles match, should have been him versus, like, Finley or something. Like, bring back the Bullet Club. Like, he's still against... Yeah, he's still doing it after all these years. That could at least be, like, fun bad. This was just bad, in my opinion. And but again, I don't think anybody will judge Umino for this.
Yeah.
They had a segment here, too, where, like, they had everybody come out from the first main event. It was, like, Tanahashi, Suwama, I think Go was the third one.
Yeah.
And then they had the band there too. So it's like they were like, hey, these are the guys who made the first All Together special. And I was like, okay. like this is cool. But it led into the next match anyway, though. Go Shiozaki and Katsuhiko Nakajima. Axis has reformed. That was like a huge moment when it happened last month. And everybody loved it. And they should because they're awesome. They took on the team of Hokuto Omori and Satoshi Kojima. It's another one of those matches. To me, this is one of the best matches on the show in terms of, like, in-ring action. I really liked Omori here. I thought he showed out and did a lot of great things here against two guys who are obviously well-respected. But his chemistry with Nakajima, where it's like, he was basically... Which he kind of does this in All Japan, too. But he was basically, like, trying to troll him a little bit and send him off the wall and for Nakajima. And it was a quick match. It wasn't super long, but I thought they looked really good here. And I especially really liked Omori. He, to me, was like, if I wanted to point the finger at one person, he would probably be my go-to. Outside of, like, Okada, obviously, like, because the main event has extra run. But to me, Omori and Ridgeway were the two guys that really upped their stock. And I really enjoyed this match. I thought it was strong stuff. And Go and Nakajima worked just as well together as they always did.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally on board with that. The same two guys stood out to me, at least for, like, everything up until the main event. I didn't know, like, Omori's background, really, which is why I think it's cool to have English commentary kind of give you that, like, those pieces of information. Like, I didn't know he was an MMA fighter. And, like, I knew he got into that, like, disciplinary situation. And that, I guess, like, Chris tried to, like, kind of spin it as, like, he has an attitude problem and he's sort of like a badass, which is, like, cool context. And then for him to just, like, when he threw Kojima out of the ring, that was awesome. And he was just, like, really going after Nakajima. And I think, like, Nakajima works so well in that dynamic where he is, like, you know, he's sort of like the punk and he's disrespectful and he's going to hurt you. And, like, certain guys react to that in a way that like makes them very interesting opponents for him. Like Hideki Suzuki is someone that comes to mind where he like just won't have any of it. And Omori seemed to be like you, what you were saying, like kind of trolling him or baiting him to like get more angry. And so like when someone can play on that dynamic with him, it's super entertaining. I would love to see a singles match with them, but yeah, this is definitely a fun match. Like for, you know, 9 minutes, Kojima is super over, which is like, I think like sometimes people forget like how popular he actually is. He got like a really nice pop, and him and Go doing the chop battle is always fun. So I definitely think like if you were watching just some matches from the undercard, this would be one of the top ones to watch.
Yeah. So like in All Japan, Omori's kind of mentor is basically Minoru Suzuki. They're in the same faction together along with Ryuki Doi.
Yeah.
I think they were trying to play it up in that same way, like a bad attitude, you know, MMA guy before. And he works it well. Like, I think he did a great job in it. I've always loved him, even when he was younger. They kind of was, he was a junior for a long time, and he just recently moved up to heavyweight this year and had a pretty decent run in the champion carnival. He got 6 points, which was a lot better than what he was doing before, to be honest. I really like him, though. I've always been a fan of his. He works really well, too, in All Japan. I answered this question not that long ago. Shout out Matt Besner for answering that, or asking that, rather. But some of his best matches in the past, when he was a junior, was against Hikaru Sato, who is a great wrestler, first of all, but also they just worked well together. Because Omori, he proved in this match, he showed it as well. He could turn up physicality when the time is right as well, even though he's a little bit smaller. But against Nakajima, they really matched up well. They're kind of similar sized. So I thought they worked really well together. That was kind of like my standout pairing here, too. I mean, Ego was good, don't get me wrong. Kojima very over. Obviously, they have a lot of history with the title match they had where Kojima won the title. They're just like a great natural pairing, you know. Battle, you know, Gowon Lariat versus Cozy Lariat. Like, instant feud, pretty much. A battle of the chops. Well, it's like they're very similar, so it works out. Good stuff there. Really impressed with Omori. Oh, one thing, too. If you go on our Twitter, at Eastern Lariat, I posted the video, like the behind the scenes of the song that Funkus made for the show, the All Together song. And it featured a bunch of wrestlers coming on there to sing, like, the Moe guy part. I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to be like Kojima and play myself like he did. Kojima was the worst singer by far of even that one single segment.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Which is a very fun video. That song is a banger, first of all. But Kojima of all, and they had everybody. They had Liger, Suwama was there, Tanahashi, Go, Sugira sang on it. They pretty much had Kai, and they gave Sugira one of the biggest parts because he was the champion when they recorded the song, even though he lost it before the show to Go. But he was like, they basically, there's a part in the song where they give Sugira a part, and then Tanahashi a part, and Suwama a part, because they were the champions at the time, and they kind of go up back to back. But yeah, they had everybody on there. I'm trying to think of some other notable names, because this was Prince Devitt was on there, Finn Balor, he was there.
Wow.
Yeah, so they had a lot of people. Yoshitatsu was in WWE at the time, so he was not on that track, unfortunately. But we went to the next match. Desperado, Suzuki, and Ren Narita, strong style of New Japan. Another New Japan and Noah match. Jutta Miyawaki, Naomichimaru Fuji, and Takashi Sugira. You know, we were talking about it off the air, about all of the controversy surrounding Kenya Okada and Yasutaka Yano, who, the long story short of it is, we don't know what happened. You know, more or less. But the gist of it is, these two guys were young guys. Okada was getting a little older, but still a young guy, you know, at the end of the day. They were two youngest prospects. They got fired for reasons we don't know. Nobody knows. It was a weird thing. But you look at Miyawaki, too. I want to shout out Emerald Flow Show with Paul Vache and Gerard DiTrolio. They talked about his part a little bit, too. You look at Miyawaki's run. His stuff is so weird this year, like his journey, because you go back to the start of the year, him versus Amakusa, That was a great match. That to me was not that far off. I mean, the main event was a wonderful match with Kenno and Kaito. But I don't think that junior match was way off. I thought that was kind of underrated. I thought it was like a tremendous performance. So he has this great match. And even if you didn't like it as much as me, you still admitted that, hey, this was a really strong match. He had that great match coming back from excursion to Mexico, only for him to go back on excursion to Mexico. And he just disappeared. I don't know what was going on with him. I don't know if he wrestled at all or what happened or if it was visa. I don't know. But he disappears. And then he comes back a few months later, basically as a rookie again. What's going on with Yuta, man?
Well, he's out injured now. They just announced that yesterday.
Concussion, yeah.
I don't know. Like, I'm with you. I thought that match on the first was so good. Like, I had it as a 4.5-star match. I just think, like, lucha-style Japanese junior heavyweight wrestling is, like, some of my favorite stuff. And he looked awesome. He was doing, like, these dangerous spots, and it was, like, really frenetic, and Amakusa was doing his dives, and it was just, like, all around a really fun, kind of crazy, high-spot, lucha-influenced match. And I was, like, because Junta was great before he left. Like, he was really solid. He had, like, a pretty well-formed style. And then when he came back, I was like, oh, this is great. Like, let's get it, you know, let's really kick this off. Like, we have a new junior. He's going to be this, like, lucha style. We know he's good already. And then, like, nothing.
Not to interrupt you, but I remember us talking about that match going in. Yeah. Last year, and you were saying that you think he should win the title there and just be the ace of the division right away. And that wasn't that unreasonable because he, like you said, before he left, he was really paired with Kotage and Harada a lot. Shout out to Harada, unfortunately retired now. But those were, like, the two best workers that you could learn from, and he learned from them and did great things. And then you went to Mexico and obviously added this new flavor to him. So I remember us talking about that match, and I was thinking, man, even me, I wanted Amakusa to win just because I love Amakusa, and I thought he'd be great as a champion, and he was great. I wanted them to continue that reign and then have Junta come back August, September, after the N1 maybe. But that should be, like, the end game of that title reign to me, was, like, have this solidify this title, solidify this division, and then pass the torch to Junta. Because I don't think Hayata is the person to pass the torch to anybody, let alone your next ace. So I really wanted that to happen, and then it's like this weird situation comes about, and I just don't understand it at all.
No, and like, I, you know, I don't want to be harsh, but he looked horrible in this match.
Yeah.
Like, he looked completely outclassed. Like, it was embarrassing. Like, this is the guy that's supposed to be the junior ace. I mean, maybe he was hurt. Like, maybe he was, like, concussed or something before the show, and that explains it. That, like, tornado DDT spot was, like, the worst botch I've seen all year. It took him, like, 6 minutes to, like, get his feet on the ropes. And he's, like, kind of in between all the spots. Like, it's very delayed, and he's, like, kind of just, like, waiting for guys to get in position. And I don't know, like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know, like, if he was involved in what happened with the Dragon Gate guys in Mexico, because I know, like, they were on some cards. I don't know if there's, like, some part of the story that we don't know, but yeah. I just am, like, really kind of disappointed and really sad, because he was, like, one of my, like, favorite prospects, at least, for, like, what does the future of Noah look like in 2 to 3 years? You know, after that match on the first, I thought he had potential to be, like, one of the best juniors in the country. And maybe he still does have it in him, but, like, this, the last 5 months have not shown any of that at all. And this was just, like, a pretty rough performance on a really big stage. That, like, everyone watching this is just, like, and even, like, I watched this match twice, and at the end when it's him and Desperado in the ring, like, half the front row is just, like, on their phones. Like, they are not invested at all. He's not doing anything to get the crowd into it. He's just, like, doing, like, fumbling through these awkward lucha spots. And it was rough.
Even his look has gotten worse to me. It's like they changed his look when he came back from what he was at the first.
Yeah, he's got these, like, long tights now. I don't know. I like the, like, weird tights, but
maybe he, I just, I don't know. he just looks like, you know, maybe it's just his, you know, his personality. Like, I don't know what happened or anything like that. His heart might not be in it right now for whatever reason. He could have been injured. I mean, he didn't have like a concussion. It was a spinal cord concussion, which sounds worse than it is. Like, you know, it usually resolves within like 2 days or so. He should be back in a couple of weeks. I think they announced it. Yeah, I think they announced he'll be out until the 24th, pretty much. You know, so hopefully he gets better and resolves itself. But yeah, this was not a great match. It's a shame because you look at the talent level in this match. I mean, Narita, to me, is one of the best workers in New Japan. And yeah. Desperado is a talented guy. But like you said, the crowd was just not having this match. I think Suzuki is totally toast, and I don't have any nice words to say about him. Mara Fuji, just like I said before the match with Jake, his issue will be motivation forever. Because he proved in the Jake match that he can turn the clock back when necessary.
Yeah.
But that did not happen here, of course. Sugera is awesome, of course. I kind of thought they might give him the win just to build him up for Jake, but they had other plans for Jake. We'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, this match wasn't that great all around, and it was only 10 minutes. Like you said, the crowd was down for it. The next match, you had the Empire, the United Empire to be exact. Great Okan, Jeff Cobb, Aaron Hanare, TJ Perkins, and Francesco Akira. They took on this weird, like, All Japan group where it's like they mixed up a bunch of different factions. So you have the Voodoo Murders team of the Saito brothers, Jun and Rei Saito. You got the Evolution team back together and better than ever with Suwama. You want to talk about weird booking? But, you know, you can say what you want about Noah's stuff. The Suwama storyline may be one of the absolute just strangest. It's not as offensively awful as Stinger. But it still makes no sense. But regardless, Sato and Tamura are there. And then Ryuki Honda from Gungnir of Anarchy. So three different factions, and they all lost to the United Empire. Well, did anybody stand out to you
here?
It just felt like a nothing match to me.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I don't think the Saito brothers are good at all. Like, I think they might be two of the worst wrestlers in these three promotions. Like, they're on the bottom for me. Like, Tamura is fine. Sato is really good. I don't like Honda. I know that's like a hot take, but like, I think he's
I don't like him since this gimmick change that he's had.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. He's very mediocre. His look is like really bizarre now, and not in like a cool way, and just like a very uncool way. And I don't think he's that good of, like, a worker, honestly. Like, he doesn't really do anything that excites me. The Sato and Okan stuff was fun because they're both, like, these
weirdos,
perverts that are really good at grappling, and that's, like, a fun dynamic. Like, I would like to see them in a singles match because I think it would absolutely rule because they could, like, do some shoot grappling and it would be fun to watch. And, like, United Empire is fine. You know, like, I like Cobb. Catch 2-2 are good. Hanare is like hit or miss for me. I kind of just am not. He's just not cool to me, so it's hard for me to like get into his matches. Like, yeah, he's had some like decent matches with, you know, guys in New Japan, but I can never like really get too excited about them because I just don't buy his whole like package as this like combat, you know, artist. It's like a weird dynamic, and
I will say all this about
him. Wasn't for me.
I will say this about him. I can't completely hate anybody whose finisher name is the Streets of Rage, because I was a huge fan of those games, to be honest. And if every match he had was a triad match against Shingo, he'd probably be like one of the best wrestlers alive. The problem is he's only had one of those. And then all of the other stuff you see him in isn't actually very good. So it's like, if he wrestles Shingo or just I love the triad matches. Like, best match type New Japan ever came up with by far.
I didn't watch them. On paper, it didn't look like it would be up my alley, but I'll give it a shot. I'll give it a shot if you liked it.
Oh, that was one of the best matches of April. Like, that to me is still one of the better. I won't say the best New Japan match of the year, but it's one of them. I love that match. And the Taichi one was good, but, you know, not as good as the Hanare match. Maybe that's just because it came first. If they did another one, I might not like it as much, but I thought it was pretty fantastic. And Shingo is just a machine right now. So I really agree with you. I like Empire for the most part. Cobb is awesome. Catch-22, among the better juniors. Akira had one of the best matches of the whole Super Juniors to me versus Desperado. That was one of the standout matches. TJ always can work everybody's style and do great. I think him and Sato would have a great singles match if they could work together somehow. And the other ones, I kind of agree. Did you watch the Champion Carnival or any of that?
I watched 5 days of it, and I
tapped out.
Yeah, I was not enjoying it, and I was like, I'm gonna call it.
Rey Saito didn't win you over.
No, none of it was doing it for me. But yeah. I'll go back and I try and just catch the anything that has 8.5 or 8.0 and higher on Cage Match. I'll go back and watch when I'm doing my little list. But
well, you won't have a lot to catch up on then.
Yeah, it won't be much from Champion Carnival other than the last. I know the finals was supposed to be really good, and I'll go back and watch that.
The final was the best match of the tournament to me. It's unfortunate about the injury afterwards, but the match itself was really strong. The Saito is actually impressed compared to, because I think everybody who watches All Japan is kind of like what you said. They think they're probably the worst people in the company. But in the tournament, they actually did pretty good. They showed, and not that they had blowaway matches or anything, but they showed that they can at least be solid, good, big brawler dudes. And I think there's room for that in Japanese wrestling. But then you see them then there's other times you see them, the match they had at Gleet for the tag titles there. I mean, God, that was an awful match with the Bulk Orchestra. I thought they sucked in there. I don't know what was going on with them there. Something about them I've noticed, they're bad wrestling smaller wrestlers for whatever reason, because you think that's one of the easiest things for a big guy to do, big versus small, beat the hell out of small guys, throw them around.
Yeah.
You think that would be so easy, but for them, they just suck at it. They're a lot better just big, beefy brawler type of dudes, which we didn't get a ton of in that match. Sato is among my favorite wrestlers in the world. I think he's one of the best in the ring and definitely has the best technicians. This was more about him being a pervert against Okan by the end when he did take his pants off at the end. But Honda, I used to really like him. Last year, I thought he did a lot of great things. Him and Ashino as a team, I thought, had a really strong run together. He had a great gimmick with the shades. The shade spot was so cool. And then he comes out with this gimmick change. And it's another one where it's suddenly he's this heel type of dude cheating, low blows. And I was like, what? This sucks. It's I liked you. what happened to you, man? And yeah, the look is awful. There's no question about that. And you said, not even when Jay White was around, I have a lot of criticism of Jay when he was in New Japan. But the beard he had is awful, but great in a heel way. And this is not that. It's just awful. But yeah, this is a nothing match. Next match, Suwama, Nagata, Anzai versus LIJ team of Bushi, Shingo, and Naito. On paper, you would want this to be a big standout match for Anzai's sake, but I don't think it hit the mark, unfortunately. I think one of the better parts was the tease of Naito and Nagata they kind of had, and then Anzai came in with his big jumbo knee, which looked awesome, and the crowd started to really buy into him, it felt like. Anzai is a great, great prospect, among the best in any company, but I just thought this was a so-so match that didn't really inspire me on anybody.
Yeah, I mean, that's all my notes say exactly that. The knee, his jumping knee is really amazing. It's really cool that he has this kind of, it's always good to have that really impressive spot, Okada's drop kick, and Kaito has a great drop kick too, to have this he's big and he's jumping, and he almost jumped over Naito when he did it. But and I thought the Suwama Nagata thing was cool too, with the double backdrop. Like that was fun. And yeah, Naito was funny making fun of Nagata, but I don't know why they didn't. Anzai could have pinned Bushi, right?
That's exactly what. That's another issue with this match. It's like, oh, of course.
Why not? It's Bushi.
Yeah, because Suwama, he has to get the pin in this match, unfortunately, at All Japan. But I was thinking the same thing with that. Man, couldn't Anzai have just won? Like, you know, would it have really been that big of a deal? But like I said, the match was so uninspiring. It bothered me less than it would have if this was like a genuinely big match and then Suwama won anyway. And it's like, you like, stop it. Stop, Suwama.
Yeah.
This is why I said when I was switching around people, he was the guy I wanted to move. Because he's actually good, but I hate him in All Japan, and I don't want to see him do anything in his surroundings. But he's actually talented and good, and he still is, even though he's older. But yeah, I mean, who can't pin Bushi at this point, to be honest with you?
Yeah, it's like, he's just a jobber, basically. Yeah. And Anzai's getting his title shot, and you want to, like,
win
a little bit. I'm with you on Suwama, though. Like, I'm excited that he's going back. It seems like he's officially back in Evolution after this show. He, like, tweeted about it.
Yeah.
And, like, that version of Suwama is much better because, like, he could still go out there and throw some, like, lariats and have, like, a good kind of brawling but not Voodoo Murders style match.
Oh, yeah.
Which is cool. Like, I'm down for him to do that, and I hope he gets a chance to do that a bit more. But, yeah, just give Anzai the win here. Like, especially if he's challenging Nagata. Like, you want to heat him up as much as you can on a big stage like this, too. Why does Suwama need this win?
Yeah, you're going to have more eyes on this show than any of All Japan shows this year. So I think it's really interesting for that. But it's not that surprising because of Suwama. But I agree with you. Him outside of Voodoo Murders is a huge upgrade. Like, no question about that. But I just think, you know, it's time. You can be great and still be stale. And I think he's far surpassed that point at this point. But, yeah, so match. And so was the next match, which unfortunately featured the two world champions of our promotions here.
Yeah.
But we had the Just Five Guys team of Yoshinobu Kanemaru, Taka Michinoku, and Sonata versus the good-looking guys of Yohei, Tadasuke, and Jake Lee. And Noah got the win here. In a roundabout way, the GHC champion beat the IWGP champion.
Yeah, I mean, Noah's big win coming over Taka Michinoku is still not that exciting. But, I mean, I don't know. In this match, like, I do think, you know, Jake and Sonata, when they, like, got in the ring, you know, they got a pop. Like, it wasn't huge. I think it's like, I don't know. We were talking about this before, and you were talking about this on your Patreon about Dominion. Some things in wrestling can happen, and like if you have an agenda, you could like use it to like just go with your agenda. Like you could say like, oh, they didn't get a reaction here. They're the champions. Like they should have gotten a huge reaction. Or you could be like, hey, they got like a pretty, you know, people seemed excited for them to get in the ring, and it wasn't like the reaction for the stuff that happened in the main event, but
yeah, exactly.
They're not on that level yet, you know, like they're still kind of the new champions trying to like kind of carve out their position. And so the match wasn't particularly good.
That's another issue. Yeah.
I don't know. Like I'm much higher on Jake. I would say I'm higher on Jake than I am on Sonata right now.
Yeah,
I think Sonata has improved a lot over the last 6 months, but he still had some really bad matches in the New Japan Cup. But I don't know. Yeah, this was kind of just there and wasn't really exciting in any way.
Yeah, that's the problem. When you have to judge these two by world champion standards at that point, in my opinion. And you know, because like I said, I like Jake, actually. Even when he came into Noah, I don't hate Jake nearly as much as some people. I think he's a good worker. Like, you could say maybe not that exciting, but I thought he did a lot of good in his All Japan run. And if you look at his title reign, because we did the poll on Twitter about who had the best world champion, and Sonata won, but to me, I think Jake is actually a way better champion than him. If you look at Jake's title run, okay, the first match against Kaito wasn't that good. But the ones that came after it, the Nakajima and Marufuji match, and will almost certainly continue against Sugira, he's gotten better in each subsequent match. And he carries himself pretty well. I don't think he's like a, you know, superstar charisma or anything like that. But he carries himself all right. I think a great thing about him and Noah, and I mentioned this, I actually mentioned this when we did the show after him versus Nakajima. that him being in Noah, he's bigger than almost everybody in Noah. If you look at Jake, he towers over Nakajima and makes him look – it's kind of silly when you look at it, but it actually adds to his aura a little bit in a way that as GHC champion, I'm buying him, to be honest. Sonata, to me, is like – yes, he has improved for sure. I will definitely agree with that. You know, there were times in years past where it's like, yeah, this guy's like maybe the worst wrestler in the whole company. And I don't think he's that anymore. And like you said, I mean, the New Japan Cup had the Kenta match, which...
Oh, that's so bad.
Know, yeah, that was one of the worst matches of the year. I don't think necessarily because of him, but he
that's,
didn't...
Yeah, really that's more on Kenta, I think. Yeah. Kenta is sadly very bad right now.
Yeah, yeah, awful performer. But Sonata didn't do anything to make him better. Either. He didn't save it, which kind of says that. Like you said, I think on paper, you can at least hang your hat on this as a Noah fan. Like, hey, you get an indirect win. It's probably the best you could hope for. Because, to be honest, I thought Sonata was for sure going to pin Tadasuke or Yoe. But I was actually genuinely surprised by this win, to be honest. So I guess it just depends on your expectations. Because, as I said, not just Noah, but I'm suspicious of New Japan with any company they work with, that I think they're always going to find a way to come out on top and make the other guys look kind of bad. But here they gave him a win, which is something. Their segment was okay. Sonata, I mean, he's not a great worker, but he does have athletic ability. He actually cleared Jake on the leapfrog, and Jake's a tall guy.
Cool. That was impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, so I didn't hate this match, but it wasn't special either. And that's what I'm saying. If you judge it by world championship level, when they did it in 2011, when they were all in the big match, that felt like a huge deal. Yeah. And this felt like, oh, this is a mid-card scenario with two mid-card guys who happen to be champions. But I do, in Noah, I actually think Jake is a good champion. I don't know if that's a hot take or not. And I think Sonata, there's like 20 guys I would pick over him to be IWGP champion if I had the choice. But
we'll I think I'm with you. The thing with Jake, like just to go on a little like tangent about what's happening with him. I think the Kaito match was not good, but it was like it wasn't as bad as people were saying it was, but it wasn't like a particularly great match or even a particularly good match. But I think he was kind of working on top, like, for the whole match. You know, he was – and it makes sense, right? Like, he's this tall, dominant heel who's, like, kind of an invader from an outside – he's not a Noah guy. Like, you would have him dominate the whole match because that's, like, what his character kind of exudes. Like, he's going to be someone who's going to be in control. After that, they like flipped the switch. Like someone in the back must have been like, dude, you can't, this isn't working. And the Nakajima and Marufuji matches were like the opposite. Like he basically got his ass kicked for like most of those two matches and it made it so much better. Like he actually works really well from underneath as like sort of this, like he's not a baby face, but he kind of like gets sympathy if he's getting his ass kicked. And Nakajima and Marufuji are really good at doing that. And so it's like not what I expected his reign to be, but I'm with you. Like I think he flipped it around, which is like really impressive in itself because I think most wrestlers or most promotions, they don't change their mind that fast. Like we would have had more of these like long plodding Jake Lee control segments where he dominates the match and he's this tall, overbearing guy. And I like really do give Noah or Nosawa or whoever like saw this and was like, we got to change this up. I give them credit for figuring that out because that's like pretty impressive. And I think the results have spoken for themselves. And I do think Jake is a better wrestler than Sonata right now, as long as like the match structure lets him kind of be in that position, even though it's not what you would really expect from him. And you also need someone who could kind of be in the driver's seat and like structure a good match like Nakajima and Marufuji did. I think Sugiero would do the same thing. Like I think he's going to beat his ass for like 75% of the match and I think it'll be really good because of that. But I'm much more interested in Jake Lee title matches just from like a work rate perspective. I think the story with Sonata is interesting. I like the Muto influence he's added a bit more of since Muto retired, like the Shining Wizard. He's always had the moonsault and everything, but like doing the Shining Wizard is cool. But I don't know. I mean, like, if I had to put on a great match tomorrow and I had to pick one of these guys, I think I'd pick Jake Lee.
Oh, to me, it's not even close. I think Jake's, like, a significantly better. Like, Sonata's improved, but he's, like, he went from, like, a 0 to a 5. And Jake's actually good. You know, it's like, all of his matches, he's not even, like, you look at him versus Hiromu and Tsuji, the crowd rallies behind the opponent, like, all the time. And Tsuji was in the crowd, by the way. they cut to him during the last match. It may have been this match, but they cut to him sitting in the crowd being cool there, which, I mean, I love Tsuji. That guy's awesome.
Yeah.
But he should have been on the show, to be honest, if they had maybe booked it around it somehow. But whatever, it's fine. But Jake, to me, I like his aura. And I think the group has helped him, too. I mean, that was a group that looked like a comedy type of deal at the start. It's like, man, you're putting him in this mid-card role. But I think everybody's gotten elevated. I think, you know, we talked about Stinger a lot off the air, but I think the titles are in much better hands with Tadasuke and Yohei. We're already seeing improvements with them. And the whole group has elevated each other, and I like what Jake's been a part of there. I think he just has this aura of like, hey, this guy ultimately is this – I know his group's called the good-looking guy, but in reality, it's like – he's like this normal guy who just happens to wrestle good as well. There's nothing really like great gimmick about him. He doesn't have a super colorful look. He's really basic all around. He's just this normal guy, but he wrestles good. And when the push comes to shove, he can overcome like that. He's not as exemplary as maybe his opponents are at the end.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. I think like it's just, I'm really impressed by how they flipped it around and, because if they kept going with matches that were like the Kaito match, I think it would have been really dire.
It's been one of the
main bright spots of Noah over the last couple months. So, but in this match, like I was a little let down just because it was just nothing really juicy, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I agree. And again, but for the champions, you want something bigger than this at the end of the day.
Exactly.
We had the semi-main event, which was the junior heavyweights, which is basically like a junior version of the main event. We had Hiromu Takahashi teaming with Atsuki Aoyagi and Amakusa, even the champions, an all-champions team, but there's one champion we don't want on our team, and he was on the other team. Hayata teamed with their rivals, Master Wato and Rising Hayato. To me, we've spoken at length, Amakusa, to me, is right near the top of working juniors in Japan or anywhere, really. I think he's awesome. Hiromu is like just an explosion of charisma that he adds something to every match he's in. Aoyagi, he got the pin, which I was pretty surprised by, of everybody, but not in a bad way, because it makes sense, especially considering what happened in the main event, that you would want the same company guy pinning their own guy. So it actually makes sense when you think about it, and they probably weren't going to pin the champion, and Wato's a New Japan guy. So it's like it all works out. The other team, though, I thought Hayato was actually the star of the match, and a lot of people mentioned him after the show as like one of the absolute bright spots of the show. And he was great. He's a guy I've really said a lot about in past years. I think he started out not that great. I mean, he had a match versus Sugi for the championship at the start of last year in January of 2022, which was an awful match all around. And ever since that day happened, he's really come into his own. He's another guy that got a new gimmick last year as kind of like, you know, the pretty boy type of guy, always doing it for the ladies. You know, him and Aoyagi obviously have a lot of, women as fans, and he plays into it so good. I think he's really charismatic, great worker, can do a lot too. I think he gets underrated because everyone's focus is always on Atsuki, but I think Hayato is actually just as good, and maybe he could even grow to even be a little better by the end, because I think he's actually a better all-around performer, like selling. And Atsuki's a great performer, too, all around, don't get me wrong. But I think Hayato has something about him selling on offense. He could do a little bit of everything, charisma. I really liked him, even though he took the fall with the best move in wrestling from Aoyagi, the 450 Splash, as well, of course, we have to mention. But I thought this was, you know, the second best match on the show.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I think I liked the Bridgeway tag earlier a bit better.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, like Hayato is I like a wrestler that has like a vibe to them that's very tangible and is like kind of unique. There's like not many, there's no one in All Japan or Noah or New Japan that has his sort of vibe. You know, he has like, I guess like the Eichmann thing kind of with the makeup and the, it's like a cool, it's a cool gimmick. The thing with with Aoyagi, it's kind of like, he kind of reminds, him and Sean Legacy are in that same sort of bucket for me where it's like, I don't know. Like, they're super athletic. You see what I'm getting at? They're like good in the ring.
Yeah.
But like, what's their character? What is their, vibe?
I'm going to recommend you a match here. Watch him versus his brother from, I think, the 14th of last month in All Japan. Okay. They were the they had a main event singles match against each other, and he showed a lot in that match. I think you'd see a lot in him in there. And the funny thing is, when you look at the Doi title reign, because Doi was the champion in All Japan as a junior, Hayato's match was better, and Atsuki had two, and Hayato's match was better against Doi than either of Atsuki's. So I do think there's something to be said for that, that his vibe kind of carries him more. Aoyagi can be great, because he's got, like, basically a mini version of his brother in at some cases, where it's like, deep down, this is, like, he's a prick, but one that you love. like deep down, like, I always compare Yuma to like Dante from Devil May Cry, where he can't help himself from just making fun of everybody, but he's actually good deep down. And you could see a little bit of that in Atsuki too, not in this match, but there's been times where he's shown that, especially when he's with his brother, either teaming with or against, he shows that a lot. And I think he does have that there. And I really like him as a performer, don't get me wrong, but I do think there's something to be said that I think Hayato is very clearly, like, a character in and of
itself,
you know, and Atsuki doesn't have that, he's just a good wrestler.
Yeah, that's, I think, like, if you look at the six guys in this match, like, they all have their, you could, like, pretty much get their character just off a few minutes of watching them wrestle, you know? Like, Wato with his, like, grandmaster kung fu, and Hayata being like the mall goth, like with the pant leg rolled up. Yeah. And Amakusa is like this Christian luchador. Like it's, and obviously Hiromu like is very, that's like Hiromu's whole deal. He's that like to the extreme. And for Aoyagi, it just feels like I watched the match for Sato from really early in the year, his junior title match. And like, I thought that match was like pretty bad because he just like, Sato like tries to rip his arm off. And then he just, like, doesn't sell it and does his, like, 450 and his high-flying moves.
Yeah, he's definitely more of a high-flying type of wrestler.
Yeah, it just feels, like, sort of generic, I guess. And, like, that. So if someone feels that way to me, it's, like, very hard for me to, like, get excited about them because I don't see something that I'm, like, intrigued by because, you know, it's just, like, sort of like that creative wrestler vibe where it's, like, wear the cool pants and do a 450 and, like, I want to see something else. I want to, like, what are you trying to tell me otherwise? But action wise, like in the ring, I think this was a pretty fun match. Like people got their spotlights, and I think Hayato was definitely the one that people were talking about afterwards. And so it's cool to see someone like that, that's like more under the radar, get like a nice little kind of boost from a match like this. So fun match, and definitely one of the better ones on the card.
I actually think this match would have been better if they had switched Hayata and had a Amakusa team with Wato and Hayato, because you could have gotten a Amakusa versus Aoyagi and Hiromu. And I think he would fit better against especially Hiromu. Hayata, he just needs to stay out of the way of the match. But I think what you said is that, you know, for Aoyagi to really win you over, he needs to either A, find God, like Amakusa.
Yeah.
Or B, run around with street gangs in the mall.
Yeah, turn goth, like, or go,
or both.
Yeah,
maybe
or like
he can combine both those.
Yeah, to become a born again Christian, or hang out with
also
Hiromu.
A gang,
yeah,
yes, okay.
Go to punk shows with Hiromu and get like a crazy jacket, or like learn kung fu with Master Wato and try to find the Grand Master. Like you gotta give me
master.
Something. Like I don't get it. Like his trunks say like plus ultra. Like I don't know what that is. I think it might be an anime or something that he's a fan of. Like, I'm just like, it's too plain. It's too like just cool junior heavyweight wrestler, and I don't see a lot in that personally. Like that doesn't excite me as you know for what I look for in wrestling. So, but you know he could still like do some athletic stuff and put on a cool match. But I was much more impressed with Rising Hayato when this 12 minutes was over.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Hayato was definitely the standout. Again, if you were to go with, like, 3 stars that gained, I think it would be Ridgeway, Hokuto Omori, and him. Rising Hayato would be kind of like the 3 standout guys that raised their stock. Because, again, like, Okada had an amazing performance in the main event, but it's Okada. Like, it's like he gained anything from it. It's just he's where we all knew he was, pretty much. Yeah, I agree. You know, the more I think about it, I think it would have been better if they'd switched them, to be honest. I really like the Axis yeah. Tag, too. I think that might be my second favorite, actually. Like, that and the Ridgeway match, I think you could argue that this was. It was the second longest of the show, at least. but it's kind of where we're at with the show. Like, none of these matches were actually that standout until the main event. Yeah. So it's like, take your pick. They were all pretty good. Main event time. Kazuchika Okada, Yuma Oyagi, and Kenno. Asuki's brother in this match as well. Noted anime fan Yuma Oyagi too, so I'm sure his brother is the same way.
Yeah.
They teamed up with and they took on the team of Hiroshi Tanahashi, Kento Miyahara, and Kaito Kiyomiya. They're all at the press conference together, and as it turned out, Oyagi was right. He was the lubricant of wrestling here to make this odd couple team of Okada and Kenno work. And then suddenly they're like best friends now, Kenno and Okada. So I guess it all worked out. But I mean, the match, this was the match on the show. Yeah. You know, like the other matches, they had some good stuff. They had some boring stuff. The show wasn't that great until this. Like this was what put it way over the top. And to me, I won't say match of the year level, but it was really great. You know, it was like right below that for me where, you know, I would take this over pretty much anything we've seen in a couple of months at least. And I thought everybody stood out here. Obviously, the main story stuff was between Kaito and Okada. A lot of people were really impressed with Kento versus Okada as well. And Kento is like, he's really this wild, expressive guy, you know, pretty much there. Aoyagi was like the glue to the match, although he said he was a lubricant. He's actually the glue of the match, which is like the opposite of what he said. Kenno's always another wild and crazy type of guy. Tanahashi, he was involved in the finish, obviously, but he did the least of the six, which is probably, you know, for the best for him. But
yeah.
For what he did, though, I thought he definitely was good for what it was. I didn't go away thinking, you know, because I said this, we'll talk about the G1 in a second, but everyone talks about how broken down he is, but every time he comes in a match, I always come away thinking he added something to it, pretty much, and made it a little better in some way. But, yeah, I thought it was good, accomplished a good bit. I think it's interesting that they went away from Okada versus Kaito entirely for the finish, with Okada pinning Tanahashi, which is obviously kind of a win for Noah, because, you know, if he pinned Kaito, I think that would have been a lot worse, considering what happened, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this wasn't the big... If you're a big fan of the Kaito and Okada, the interactions were great. This wasn't, like, the explosive moment where Kaito overcame all of these demons or anything like that. It was just, like, he wrestled good like he always does, and Kaito bullied him, and there was a lot of heat from Kaito for that. But yeah, I liked, Okada to me was the MVP of the match pretty clearly. Like all of his interactions were the top stuff. I liked Yuma's performance. He did good. But the thing is, when you're around such huge names and characters that it's easy to get overshadowed sometimes. If he and Kento had switched, I think him and Okada would have been the standout performance. Like everyone would be talking about Yuma coming out of it. But because he was teamed with Okada, Kento was the one that people gravitated to. But I thought this was a really great match though.
Yeah, no, I think this is like a low-end match of the year candidate for me. Like, I really, really loved it. I love this sort of match. I think, like, if you're someone that does, like, at least watch 2 of the 3 promotions, and, like, I watch All Japan, like, not regularly, but I watch a few matches every month. Like, if you were just a New Japan fan and you didn't know anyone else in this match really outside of like the spot shows, I think it like doesn't do as much for you. But like, you know, Dylan, you know everyone's personalities, and so it adds so much to see the dynamics between all six guys. And so I really loved it. Like, the first thing that kind of blew my mind right off the bat was Chris Charlton telling the story that Kento got into wrestling because of Hulk Hogan, and he wanted to be like Hulk Hogan. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I did. And I also know that Yuma is a huge fan of The Rock as well.
I mean, like, as someone who's not like a big Kento fan, this made so much sense to me. Like,
because oh, it totally does. Like,
there's so many similarities when you start to look at it, like the red and yellow gear and the big boot and how like the bicep flex and the tan and the, you know, like he kind of has an emphasis on like charisma and style over like structuring unique and interesting matches. And like it, I'd never thought of that comparison before. And it just like explained so much to me about why I personally don't love Kento Miyahara. Cause he's Japanese Hulk Hogan, but, with some better suplexes and stuff and more mobility.
Are you telling me you're not a Kento maniac?
I'm not. No, I'm firmly not. I will not be buying into Kento Mania. I'll buy into Wato Mania, but not Kento Mania.
Wato Mania. What about Aoyagi? Did he do anything for you?
I like Aoyagi more, but I still like just don't. I don't know. Like he's not. He just doesn't seem as cool as like Okada. And like I don't know. His character is just like that's where I start to like in ring. He's good. Like he put a good match together, but like when you're in this match, right? All these guys could put a good match together in their sleep. Kento, I have my problems with just like for his formula, I think is a little repetitive. But Kento has a vibe and a character and a charisma to him that's like very obvious. With Yuma, I feel like he could put a great match together, but like I just don't feel like he's on the level of everyone else in this match when it comes to like having a larger than life character.
Yeah, his aura isn't there. Did you see the match, the tag title match they had, where it was him and Nomura versus Kenno and Soya?
Yeah, I thought it was good, but I didn't like it nearly as much as most people.
Yeah, that was a good match. I agree, it probably wasn't match of the year level, but I thought he was awesome in that match. And when he mocked Kenno's fist pose, I was like,
yes,
this is my guy. Like, there's always a part in all of his matches where it's like, yes, this is my guy. Like, he is the king of that in his matches.
Yeah, and when on the Muto show when he like did the Muto pose too.
Oh, gosh, like, super heat.
Yeah, he gets it in that regard. He does like have a good. He does a good job at like being sort of that like trolly kind of, you know, getting under people's skin. But like, I don't know. I just don't see. He doesn't come across as like a star in the way that the other people in this match do to me. But like in ring, I like him more than Kento. So it's like a weird kind of dynamic. But this is why I'm not a huge All Japan fan. Like I just don't. I don't enjoy their main event talent that much. So it's, you know, that's why I don't watch every show.
And he's not as accomplished as these other guys. Like these are all champions. Like that he's in the ring with, and he's like basically de facto main eventer of All Japan, but they never really went with him. When he had the match versus Jake in the Champion Carnival Finals, that was like an amazing performance, I thought.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like legendary win, and then they just pissed it away, right, you know, immediately. So I think if he had gotten some big wins, he would be a guy that you could see higher on that. You could upgrade his aura a little bit, because I do kind of agree with you. He didn't come across as big of a star of the match. He's like, in terms of in-ring stuff, he's up there to me, like, as among the better ones, you know, at this match. But, you know, he doesn't have the aura that the others do. And Kaito doesn't have that either, but he has Okada to play off of, which is kind of what I said. Like, let's say they swapped Yuma somehow with Kaito, and Okada turned on Yuma and said he was a punk, you know, punk-ass bitch or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, Yuma would come across, like, great if they did something like that, but he didn't have that, so it didn't. I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah, I think with Kaito, too, it's like Kaito has a weird aura to me as like being the like he's too young to have had this much success kind of story where it's like he's like the blue chip prospect that everyone's like, oh, this guy's so young and he's such a good wrestler. Like Yuma doesn't really have that either because like he's not How old is he? What is he like?
He's 27, I think.
Okay, so he's not that much. But like, it seems like they don't play that up as much. Well, I guess because he hasn't. Has he won the Triple Crown?
Yeah. No, he's never won the Triple Crown.
He's never won it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying. Like, he's not as accomplished as any of these other people.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know. Like, there's just something missing there for me. And but that didn't really impact the match overall. Like, I think just as a match, it was fantastic. Like, the story on both sides of the ring with, like, Okada and Kenno having their, like, kind of beef and Yuma trying to, like, you know, stop them from fighting. And Kenno is just so entertaining. Like, he's just has such a gripe with everyone, and it seems like he's ready to snap no matter what. I thought, like, the Kenno and Tanahashi stuff was pretty good. Like, I think they would have a great match because Tanahashi is so good at just, like, being in that character-heavy kind of baby face in peril versus Kenno, who's, like, you know, he's, like, yelling at him as he's kicking him. And, like, I think that they could do something really cool. But then, obviously, you know, the Okada-Kaito stuff is just – it's so fiery. It's so interesting. Okada, like, big leaguing him in the beginning. He's, like, not even looking at him. But then he takes the cheap shot when he can. And, like, it's just an amazing – it's kind of crazy to just think about how they built this feud. And it's, like, it's the hottest feud in Japan, right? Like, I can't name another feud between two guys that has this much hate and this much, like, intensity in it.
Yeah.
Where, like, there's a buzz when they're, like, in the ring together because people don't know if it's going to, like, go off the rails. Like, that's really rare. And so I know, like, they're, you know, I listened back to when we talked in March. And, like, I think Kaito's, it's, like, gone much kind of worse than I think it should have over the last few months. I think him being in the G1 kind of explains it. But I don't want to get too sidetracked talking about him. But I think, you know, him and Okada in this match, just it's electric. It's like so exciting to see. Their hate is just like so entertaining. His like drop kick was phenomenal. And the whole way the match was structured was really cool with Okada and Kenno, like getting along finally. And like when they did the double team and they were about to do the fist bump and then Aoyagi does the elbow and they just sort it all started to gel. And, you know, Okada getting a win is, like, pretty expected. I'm obviously glad he didn't pin Kaito again. I didn't think that there was – I'm also, like, I didn't expect Kaito to get a pin here either. I feel like if he does pin Okada, it's going to be, like, a much bigger deal. To do it in, like, a random tag seems like a – you know. And it makes sense with Inoki's kids at – or his, you know, grandkid every – going to do the Okada and Oki sort of like everyone go home, you know, thank you so much for supporting pro wrestling. And so just like really love the match because like I said, if you watch all three promotions, you know, these characters to see them interact is just like a treat in itself. And then for them to go out there and put on such an interesting and like nuanced match with all the different personalities and stories and, you know, anytime Kaito and Okada are in the same match, it's going to be exceptional. So this was really great. It was a great way to cap off the show and definitely worth the money for that I paid on New Japan World just for this match.
Yeah, thanks a lot, New Japan World, for this bad pay-per-view we had to pay for extra. Like I said, the match was really good. All the interactions, totally agree about your point about it being heated. I felt like the fans really rallied behind Kento when he was going against Okada, though. Like I said, I did notice that he like looked like the most over guy of the six, and he's like, because I'm kind of with you actually on Kento. I'm not his biggest fan to be honest with you, just as a wrestler. But then you see, he's another guy where it's like I think that all the time, and then at the end of the year, it's like you see the difference he makes as champion, and then he's had all of these matches that are like 4-star matches. It's like, when I think about him, I don't think he's one of my favorites. And then at the end of the year, he does all this stuff that I end up appreciating, I guess, begrudgingly, so to speak. But yeah,
That's a good point. Just to interject, like, because I do feel like I have him, if I look at, like, my stupid little sheet, like, he's 14 wrestler of the year for me right now. So it's not like I hate him, but like he like wins you over with his character and his like presence and his charisma. But then like if I start to like really watch a match and nitpick it, like I'm like, oh man, like I've seen this a zillion times. He's done this exact same sequence. And like I think he's gotten better over the last like year. There was a time in like 2021 where like you could call his matches like to the minute. Whereas like first 5 minutes he's gonna chain wrestle, then he's gonna do his headbutts on the outside, and Wada is gonna like get in a fight with him.
Oh
and
yeah,
it's just, like really like, dude, you're doing this every night. It's the same match. I'm not going to get into this that much because I just know where it's going to go. But he does win you over with just like his demeanor and like, I don't know. So I'm with you. Like I see what people see in him, but if I like get too critical, that's when I start to like fall off with him.
Yeah, and I agree with that at all. And I think that's why he benefited from the tag match he had, like teaming with Takuya earlier in the year. And also, I think the match with Nagata, he broke away from a lot of his established tropes. And I thought that's what made that match so great. And hopefully we can see more of that. And obviously here in the six-man, it's a different scenario, so he's not going to fall into those traps as much. But, yeah, the show itself, really the main event is the thing you need to see. The other stuff, I mean, there was a couple of good ones. The ones we mentioned, the tag matches earlier in the card with Ridgeway and Zach going at it. I really liked the Omori and Axis tag. And the semi-main event was good enough, you know, for a junior legacy match, but the main event was the one that really overshadowed everything. And we'll talk about Kaito a little bit more when I get into these G1 deals here. But with that said, we'll go quickly here when it comes to... Actually, I want to talk about the G1 in and of itself real quick, because I think it's worth talking about on the free show, and it involves both New Japan and Noah. All Japan doesn't have a representative in there. We'll get to All Japan in a second, like in a little while. But briefly explaining this year's G1, because they announced the participants, there's four blocks of eight people, so you've got 32 men in this tournament, and the top two men in each block advance, okay? It's actually not that difficult. I think me and Striga may be the only people alive that liked the four-block scenario, but I think it's better, actually. And I think that the main reason is because I am automatically will pick any option that leads to a semifinal tournament over the two-block scenario, because it's like, okay, let's just look at the last night of the tournament, and we can predict who advances based on who's in which match. And you can't do that in this version, so I do like that. So they announced all the names. The two big new ones, there's a bunch of like young lions and people coming over, but the two outsiders are Eddie Kingston from AEW and Kaito Kiyomiya, who we just spent a while talking about from NOAH. They both got the biggest reactions as well from the Dominion crowd. Oh, also, 20-minute time limit, which is a really cool change. Yeah. Big fan of this new rule here. But they later on announced the blocks for them. And I think the blocks kind of took everyone's, like, everyone was super excited. And then you see the blocks and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
A block, you've got Sonata, the champion, and then a bunch of new people. Shota Umino, Rin Narita, Yota Tsuji, so the whole class is here. Hikuleo and Chase Owens, Gabriel Kidd, and Kaito. So we'll just kind of go block by block, and then we'll kind of give our thoughts on the tournament as a whole and where we think this will all go, because obviously Kaito and Okada will likely play a big role in this tournament. What do you think of Kaito's block here, A block they set him up with?
I think everyone thought he was going to be in Okada's block. And so it's surprising. I'm excited about the matches. There's something about the whole thing that is just like kind of specifically with Kaito doing the G1 instead of the N1, because the N1 is, you know, NOAH's version of the G1. It's running at the same time. Part of me is kind of hesitant because a lot of what NOAH's done over the last like 2 years has been in this sort of mindset of like, oh, let's like do something that might not be great in the short term, but like we're pretty sure in the long term this will help us. So like Kaito's not in the N1. He's your best wrestler. He's the guy your company is built around, and you're saying, like, you could take off for our, like, round robin because we think you'll go in the G1 and that will, like, get more fans, like, that will get more eyes on us. But, like, don't most New Japan fans know who he is at this point? Like, if they want to have watched Noah, like, they probably would have watched Noah already. I guess, like, just exposing him with singles matches where everyone will see that he is one of the best wrestlers in the world, maybe that will, like, get more hype for Noah. But, like, part of me is kind of like, is this a good idea? Or is this just going to – is he going to get pinned by Chase Owens? And it's just going to be like, what are we doing here? Like, why is he doing this? So I'm, like, kind of concerned. But on the other hand, is it possible that he goes far in the tournament? Is it possible he pins Sonata and gets a title match that he loses in the fall? Is it possible that he pins Okada in the semifinal and loses the final to Naito or something? Like, it's possible. I don't think it's likely. That's the only, like, outcome where I'd be like, oh, this was a good move for Noah as a company. And, you know, like, I'm excited because I watch New Japan too, and, like, I'm really excited to see him versus Narita. I think it's going to be exceptional.
Yeah,
him
that's versus, a match.
Yeah, like, that's an insane match. Like, him versus Tsuji is going to be really cool. I'm curious to see what he does with Sonata. Like, there's going to be a lot of Muto homage in that match. And, like, I like Muto. I think that's a cool kind of thing to do. But, like, part of me is, like, what's the end goal here? Like, if he goes, like, 4-3 and just, like, nothing happens, then it's a huge waste, I think. If he, like, pins Sonata or somehow, like, makes it far, then I understand the angle. But otherwise, I'm, like, kind of confused.
I hate this block because all of these guys are new. Like, you should be spreading out the fresh matches.
Yes, totally.
For in different blocks. Like, why did you have to put Umino, Naruto, Tsuji, and Kaito, like, all in the same block? That's four guys that could have had fresh matches to every one of your blocks, and you just pissed it away in one block. I didn't understand that at all. But the good thing for Kaito is, this basically, they've set him up that he can advance. Like, it's very realistic that he can advance, because the main guy, like, the most pushed act in this block is the champion. And we know how it works with tournaments and champions sometimes. With the two advancing instead of just one, because I think if it was one, Sonata would not advance at all. If with two, he has a chance, that could set up some other things if they want to. The other ones, I mean, Narita has not been pushed at all. As much as I love him, I think he's the best of everybody in terms of wrestling. Umino has been real up and down, like, not a total nothing, but not pushed either, really. And Tsuji, he has one match under his belt. So we don't know what they're going to do. Kaito has a chance to advance above all of those guys. I think that would make the perfect sense. If I were to predict it, he would be my pick. And it depends on what they want to accomplish with Okada, because I think there's two different ways they could go. But I would say Sonata and Tsuji would be the other one that they would pick out of that block overall. This is another, we'll have to see the final night too. But I think it's pretty safe to say Owens and Hikuleo will not advance. And Kid as well. The other five, and I don't think, I would be stunned if Narita advances, although I'd be very happy if they did that. I don't think he will, but we'll see what happens. But I do think Kaito, for his prospects of doing good in the tournament, this is a great block for him to be in. I'm more optimistic after seeing that for that instance. The matches, I hate how they laid out the block, though. B block, Okada, he's in that block. You've got him, Yoshihashi, Tongaloa, Phantasmo, Taichi, Will Ospreay, Great Okan, and Kenta. I mean, this is like a total roller coaster of a block here. Yeah. Okada's doing the best work of his career, and Yoshihashi, to me, is one of the best workers. I think to most people, is one of the best workers at this point. Ospreay, I'm not his biggest fan, I will admit that, but he's like, his match with Omega makes him one of the more interesting guys in the tournament, and we've shown that he can, you know, when the time is right, he's against the right people, like Okada, he could deliver great things. His match versus Yoshihashi last year and Phantasmo were both good. They were both in D block, which was the best block last year. Phantasmo, up and down performer. He's shown that he could do some good things. There's other times where I haven't liked him, but as a babyface, I think he's going to be motivated to do good. Loa, I think I said he was underrated at one point because the team was just such a death knell for interest, but he's not going to be carrying the block, and the other three obviously won't either. And Kenta, I mean, he's among the worst wrestlers in the tournament. So I think this is another problem. I mean, you look at each block. If I were to rank, like, bottom four players, it would be Yano, Kenta, Evil, and Hikuleo. And it's like, they're all in different blocks. So it's like, I was hoping they'd go for putting them all in the same block so we could just get a trash block of bad guys that wouldn't hurt anybody else. But now the way they've done it, they put one of the worst people in every block, and that's going to hurt everything. Because Hikuleo is horrendous, and the others aren't any better at the end of the day. But it's okay. Like, up and down block, I would say.
Yeah, this one is, like, I'm kind of excited about it. Okada's been incredible this year.
Yeah, one of the MVP candidates for sure going in.
And so I think he'll get good matches out of a lot of people that, like, you wouldn't expect. You know, I'm not the biggest Ospreay fan. Like, I think he'll do what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Kenta might be my all-time favorite wrestler.
Like, that's tragic part because
and
I'm
so
the
it's
same
so,
way.
Yeah, it's yeah. so rough to see him do this. Like, I just, it's horrible. Might be the worst wrestler in, like, he's on, like, the tier with the Saito brothers for me, where it's just, like, it's insane to think that someone who could be, it's not even like he's, like, one of my favorites. Like, I think he could be one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. Like, if you really look at his body of work, and to see him like this is so sad. Like, I just want him out of this company. Like, I just want him to go back to Noah and do 13-minute matches with, like, Fujita and Hideki and, like, just because this is, like, the long heat segments and the ref bumps and the digging under the ring. It's so bad.
He kind of feels like because we're both NFL fans. And I do call you out for using Bart Scott in your gift, despite being a Giants fan.
I love that. That's a classic moment, though.
That was a legendary interview as well. So shout out to Bart Scott. Can't wait. We all remember that. But he feels like a legendary player that's totally past his prime and, like, still dragging it out, where it's, like, so obvious. Like, a quarterback who's been a championship-level player, and then at the very end, it's like he just stinks. He's throwing interceptions, you know, and the crowd is, like, chanting for the backup, even though he's a legendary player.
Yeah.
Like Aaron Rodgers kind of in Green Bay, except nobody likes him because he's such a jerk. It's really more his problem than his skills going down. But, like, you know, a guy like that, like, you know, somebody you have amazing memories of, and it's just he doesn't have it anymore, but he's still dragging himself out there. And because he's such a, like, he did so much for the team, it's like he still plays, even though you know he should be gone. And that's the thing with Kenta. It's like, you know he needs to go, but he's Kenta, so he's like, you can't. And it's like, I hate seeing him like this.
It's just sad. Like, it's also like, I don't know why he doesn't just try something different. Like, he looked so good in that six-man in Noah in the beginning of 2022. Like, that's literally the last, like, great Kenta match that I remember. And it was a random six-man tag where him and Inamura just, like, had a beef and were laying into each other. Just, like, do that for 10 minutes. Why are you doing this, like, Bullet Club, House of Torture level comedy heel work? Like, just kick people for 10 minutes, throw a suplex, and do a double stomp and do go to sleep, and everyone would be so much happier.
I wonder.
Maybe it's that much harder on his body. Like, he actually can't do that.
Yeah.
And then I just feel bad.
Yeah, I do think that's possible. And I also think motivation is part of this as well. You saw his tweets about Forbidden Door where he was like, pay me and I'll wrestle him if not. Yeah. Like, I think that's like a shoot. They're like, they're, you know, you.
No, yeah, it is.
Yeah, so I think he's like broken down. Doesn't want to put himself through this Kenta stuff anymore, and is content doing comedy, you know, backstage promos and things like that to get himself over, which is, it's admirable in some ways that you can't do what you did before. Like, there's no question about that. So instead of trying to be like because when he first came to New Japan, he did that. He tried to be old Kenta And he wasn't. Like, he was a very poor version of old Kenta. And then they turned him to Bullet Club, and he's doing something completely different, which is admirable if that completely different thing wasn't awful, unfortunately. So it's like, there's no good to come from him. But yeah, who do you think, I guess I never asked, who do you think would be, if you just had to pick two guys from A block and B block, who do you think they'll advance?
From A block, I think it'll be Kaito and Sanada.
Yeah, me too. Those are my picks as well.
From B block, I think it'll be Okada and Osprey.
Yeah, I think this is like the easiest block to predict, actually. Like, I'd be real surprised if either of those don't make it.
But yeah, I like B block. I mean, like I said, I'm not the biggest Osprey fan. I think ELP is like, eh. Like, as a baby face, like, I think he could be more interesting. Tangaloa is just kind of, I don't know.
We haven't seen him in years.
it's been a very long time. He was injured, I think, and now hopefully he's back. But I like Taichi and I like Great Okan. So I love Yoshihashi, and Okada is the best wrestler in the world right now, probably. So, I mean, that'll be a good block.
Yeah, like, if I'm ranking guys, I did this actually, where I ranked guys in tiers, and it's like, Okada and Yoshihashi would be like A to me, and Kenta would be like they'd be like five-star tier. Kenta would be like one-star tier. And Osprey, I'm somewhat interested in, because I think he's got interesting ways they could go about him, even though I'm with you, I'm not his biggest fan. He'd be more like a four, and Okan, I'm not a big fan of his wrestling. I think his character is good. I don't think, because he's had chances before and didn't really deliver that much in singles matches. But really, it's like you've got two good guys, a really bad guy, and then like a bunch of threes. Like, you know, pretty much. Like, that's kind of how I see this block, more or less. C block. This is another interesting block. All of them are kind of like up and down when you think about it.
Yeah.
Tama Tonga, Tomohiro Ishii, Shingo Takagi, Mikey Nichols. Well, what is he doing in the tournament? You know, you look at Aaron Hanare, Eddie Kingston, Finlay, and Evil. So, yeah, I mean, this is one of the harder ones to predict, in my opinion, like who advances, because I think you'd think Shingo would be one, and I guess Finlay would be the other one, just based on how they push people. Yeah, I think that's who I would pick. But Shingo and Ishii are in this block, so it can't be that bad at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, my like hot take is I'm not like the biggest Ishii and Shingo fans. Like,
even you didn't see the triad match. That's why
I didn't. But I think it's like goes back to my critique of Kento, where I feel like they have a note and they stick to the note, and like it just doesn't excite me that much. But so this block is, like, for me.
Oh, yeah, this would be like a rough block, then, if you don't like
that. Yeah, there's not much for me. Like, I like Finlay. I think, like, he's pretty interesting now.
Yeah, good character.
Like, yeah, it's good. It's, like, different. Evil is, like, I don't know. Like, Evil is, like, it's bad, but, like, it can be funny if, like, I thought Sho in Best of the Super Junior was, like, pretty funny because of the ways he was coming up with cheating, and like, if you can make me laugh, like, I'll at least be entertained. Evil in New Japan Cup, he was horrible because like it was not funny. House of Torture cheating, it was just like extremely long and drawn out, and like it wasn't creative. I don't know if they'll like do something with him and Finlay, and like maybe Evil will try to be more serious. I don't see anyone in this block that will get like a really exciting match out of him. I'm like interested in Eddie Kingston though. Like, I think that he's probably going to be working his ass off, and I think it'll be cool to see him in a New Japan ring. But this block like doesn't do it for me personally, just with my taste.
Yeah, Kingston, you know, this is his dream come true pretty much. So he's going to do the best things, and Takagi and Ishii, he's going to be so hyped to wrestle them. He'll be putting in a lot of effort. But yeah, what do you think will advance?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that You said Shingo and Finley, right? Yeah. I think that Tamatanga and Evil could be in the mix too. Because you don't know, like, they might just pull the Let's Push Evil Again card. That's always possible.
That's always my fear. And I predicted that last year, actually. I predicted Evil to go to the final, but they seem to have moved away from all of that for a while now. What you said about Sho is kind of true. They're portrayed, like, at first they're portrayed as cheating heels who won championships and were successful. Now they're more like cheating heels are goofballs.
It's funny. They're
incompetent. Like, it's kind of their storyline, which is better than what they were doing before, for sure. But I can't say, I don't watch New Japan for that at the end of the day.
No, like, that's fair.
Like, you know, like, I don't watch any wrestling for that, actually, to be honest. And I think if they, like, remember when they did the deal where they turned the lights off?
Yeah.
And it turned out, that was, like, embarrassingly bad.
Yeah, that's stupid.
And, yeah, and that's the stuff that I fear may happen. But there's people in this block, whether it's Finley, Hanare, Tonga, or Kingston coming from the American-style background. There's room that things could get ugly with Evil in this tournament. Overall. But I do agree that you can never completely count it out. And Tonga, here's the thing with him. He actually did pretty good last year as a babyface. He made it to the semifinals. His match versus Okada got really over. The fans are really into him there.
Yeah.
But it feels like they moved on. After the title run ended, it feels like he's gotten to where he's gotten to. That was like a gold watch. Because there's way more upside to me in Finlay than him.
Yeah. I also thought that, like, I was totally convinced all of G.O.D. were going to WWE. Because it seemed like they, like, wrote him off with the last match that he had. Yep. And, like, there was, like, a tweet about it. And then he deleted it, where it was, like, to Hikuleo, Tamatanga tweeted, like, oh, get ready to go to New York or something. And, like, there was a rumor, and then he said they were knocking on the door, and then nothing, and now they're in G1. So, like, maybe it fell through because WWE is, like, always doing these, like, hiring freezes and stuff.
Yeah, that was a big rumor. They might have watched him wrestle, and they were like, hell no, we don't want you.
Or that. Yeah. And so maybe, like, now they're like, hey, like, we're actually not going. And then if that's the case, I don't think New Japan will push them too seriously. I think if that never happened, because, like, we don't actually know, right? Like, maybe it was all smoke and mirrors. I think they were setting up to push Tamatanga more. So, but it's, like, an unknown factor. I think Finley is a lock because, like, they need to keep his momentum going and try and make him be a bigger part of the company. But then
he is a champion, too.
And he is a champion, yeah. I would say that I would probably go with your picks. I think Shingo and Finley are a safe bet there.
If they wanted to give a gold watch to Ishii, this is the year to do it. Like this is basically your last chance. And I'm not saying they want to do it, because I actually think they don't care about that at all. But if they just say, look, you've carried this tournament for years at this point. No matter what's happened, we could turn to you, and you did good. And we are going to move you with this two. Again, if it was just one person moving on, I would say no. But if they wanted to do it, this is their last chance. Like, this is the one year. It's not even their last chance, because in other years, that was just not even possible.
Yeah.
I think it's possible they could say, screw it. Shingo's not winning the tournament. Let's do something good for Ishii. And, I mean, there was talk about him. He was on the cutting block last year.
Oh, totally. If this was 20 people, he's not going to make it, I don't think.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so this may be the end of the road for him at any point. So if they wanted to do that, like, have a feel-good moment, he could make it and wrestle Naito or whatever, or Goto maybe, or whatever, in the semifinals. This would be the one time with this block, because it's a pretty weak block, all things considered, just push-wise.
Yeah.
This is 1 year they can do it. But I don't think they will. I don't completely write it off, though.
I mean, that's a really good point that I didn't even think about. Like, New Japan does do this, like, you've been loyal to us for so long, we're going to give you a really big spot that no one is expecting.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, even Titan in Best of the Super Juniors, no one thought Titan would be in the finals, but Titan's been around in New Japan for a long time. Like,
good
I know
point.
He's a CMLL guy, but he's been on those Fantastic Mania tours. He's been in, like, I think 3 Best of the Super Juniors in total. He's, like, always shown up for, and he's apparently a really nice guy in real life. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they're like, you know what? Ishii's going to the semifinals or even like far. He's not going to win, obviously, but like they pull that randomly where like, oh, this person's in the New Japan Cup final. You know, it's just like he's there because we want to reward him for his loyalty. I think that would be a good like sleeper pick for Ishii because I could see them doing that because I think you're right. Like it's one of his. I don't know if it's his last G1, but it's probably like on, you know, you could count it on one hand how many we have left for him.
Well, next year when they have 40 people, he'll still make it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one thing. Like, they're just going to keep, like, every year they're like, man, Ishii, it's time for him to go. We can't fit him in. They're like, put eight more people in the block tournament until we can get him in. Like, every year it's going to be more, but I think he'd be more interesting than Shingo, actually, to advance. For that reason, Shingo's already reached the peak of the mountain. I think if Ishii made it, the fans would rally behind him so much in all of his matches. Shingo's a wonderful, again, the triad match was Hinari. Hinari could never have a match that good until he faced him there. But, and I love Ishii. I like, maybe we'll be different on that because I love these guys so much. And especially Ishii has been my longtime guy because there's been times where I haven't been fans of I've been a big fan of New Japan, and I could always count on him to deliver. Much like Yoshiashi and Goto as well. Like that's why I have a strong bias towards them, or at least a strong fandom towards them, if anything, because I usually predict them to lose. But I think this is the one time if they're going to do it, this would be it. But D Block, you've got Tanahashi, Goto, Yano, Naito, Zack Sabre Jr., Jeff Cobb, Shane Haste, and Alex Coughlin. So it's like, this is kind of like the old guard block. Like all the guys who have been here at one tournament and stuff in the past, and Yano. And then it's like, oh yeah, and we have Haste. Like, and Coughlin.
Yeah. So. I think everything we said about Ishii, you could say about Goto too. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Goto advances just to do like a.
Yeah, me too.
Totally like, hey, give this veteran a rub because they're a veteran and we need 8 guys to advance to this mini tournament. Naito is my pick to win.
Mine as well.
The whole thing. So yep. I think Naito, then I would either say like the smart pick is probably ZSJ or Cobb. I think like Cobb could be due for a nice little run.
Oh, I would love that. He's awesome.
Yeah. Like I think he's someone else that's like, you know, they could easily advance him. But who knows? Like this block is hard to pick because like they could do the same kind of mindset with Tanahashi, with Goto.
Yep.
Where it's like, hey, give the veteran a spot because the fans will be into it. Naito's probably gonna win. I think that's the safe pick, but like you really never know. And then ZSJ and Cobb are both like you know, on that like level of they could easily be in that mix near the end. But New Japan always throws someone in there that you're not going to expect. Like, look at Best of the Super Juniors. No one thought it would be Bailey and Titan.
Yeah.
So, who knows? Like, it's hard to pick for some of these, but for this, I'd go with Naito. And I'd go with Cobb.
Yeah, that's a good pick. This is my personal block that I'm most interested in, just because you have a lot of... I think of, again, I said I'd made a list of people, and it's a lot of people are in row 3, and Haste out of all of them is the one that I think could overachieve. Because, again, this is his chance. Like, if he screws up here and he's not impressive, then he's probably not going to be doing things like this anymore. Like, you know, like him and Nichols.
That's true.
This is their one chance to get a chance as a singles guy. And he was very talented in Noah, his run when he was there. Obviously, it's been years since that happened, and the WWE run was like years of nothing, pretty much. He is a guy that if he brings his A game, he's going to surprise some people, I think, who maybe didn't watch him at Noah before. But even me, that was a long time ago, and their tag run has been solid, not bad.
Yeah.
But it's not like they're having matches of the years or anything like that. In this block, you've got a lot of good talent. Zack, Cobb, Goto... Those guys are going to have great matches up and down. Coughlin, he is a real wild card to me because he's mainly known for having a really dumb gimmick in Strong, of being a robot. But he's a talented guy. He's seen that as a young lion. If he can bring it, and look, there's been a lot of talented young lions. Jay White was one of the best young lions, and we saw how his matches went in New Japan. Yeah. You know, Yoshitatsu was among the best young lions that they ever had. And we know how that turned out. But if he can bring it, he could be a guy. And then you look at the rest of the block. I don't care what anybody says about Tanahashi. Until I see it with my own eyes, he's still going to have a great tournament. Because every year we talk about it and everyone says this is the end of the road. He's broken down. And he is broken down. He's clearly injured and his body is shot. But yet he still comes in. I mean, last year he had my match in the tournament versus Goto. And
yeah, that ruled.
A lot of people thought Tanahashi and Naito was one of the best matches of that tournament last year. I wasn't as high on that, but I think I'm not as high on Naito as a wrestler as a lot of people.
I think I had him versus Zack Sabre Jr. last year as a five-star match. Like, I was like, no one else is going to like give this five, but like, I watched it twice and I was like, this is a perfect match. Like, they did everything I would have wanted. They told a fantastic story. His Tanahashi selling was amazing. Like, he could still do that on G1 night 7.
Yep.
Because he's one of the best of all time. So, like, I'm with you there. Like, I think that he'll drop something that will be really crazy and people will be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Me and Striga have gone back and forth with him for years. He has told me that he is toast. And then every year he says that. By the end of the tournament, he's like, damn it, Dylan. Tanahashi's still the man. Pretty much. It's like, he's still the man. And he is. And like I said, I don't care what anybody says. Until it doesn't happen, I will continue to believe in the ace of the universe. So to me, this is my favorite block. I agree with you that Naito will make it. I think Tanahashi could make it as well. I wouldn't completely write it off. If you look at the people we kind of said for C block, I mean, I think we both think Finlay would be in there. And I think a good, like, imagine if Finlay beat Tanahashi to get to the semifinals, because you would imagine they would do A versus B and C versus D. I think Tanahashi could drop that fall, and you could advance, and then that could be a way to move Finlay forward.
Well, hold on. No, it looks like they're doing, it's so confusing. They're doing A1 versus C2.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's like all mixed up. B1 versus D2. C1 versus B2, and then D1 versus A2.
Okay, so A and B don't wrestle.
A and B don't wrestle in the quarterfinal.
Okay, this is really confusing then for the Okada and Kaito deal. Like, how are they?
The only way they could do it is if the only way Kaito can beat Okada in this tournament is in the semifinal, which would mean Kaito would be in the final.
Yeah,
which I don't. That seems
crazy.
Like
a huge leap of faith.
It's not impossible. Like,
I don't think it's possible.
Yeah, look, they put Titan in Best of the Super Juniors. Kaito, he's going to job. You know, he jobs to Naito in the final. Yeah. Like, it's not. I just don't think that will happen. I also don't think that Kaito pinning Sonata is that likely, because I think they're going to save Sonata. I think Sonata versus Shingo is probably going to be your pre-Wrestle Kingdom title match to, like, do the LIJ thing.
Yeah.
And then, so, like, that's why I'm, like, so worried about the Kaito situation, because it's just, like, I don't know what. But if he makes the final, like, that's amazing. But, yeah, so A and B don't face in the
final. I'm looking at it now, and you're totally right.
It's very weird.
This kind of changes a lot of my thinking when you think about it. Because Finlay would have to wrestle either somebody
faces B or A in the quarterfinal.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And for D, Tanahashi could face Okada. Like, I could totally see that happening, actually. Now that I think about it. Like, yeah, Tanahashi. Yeah. I think I'm going to go with Tana. That's my pick. Tanahashi and Okada in the quarterfinals. And then Naito, according to our projections here, our wonderful picks, would face either Sonata or Kaito, which...
If they do Naito versus Kaito, I'll be so excited. Like, I love Naito. I know you're not as high on him as I am, but I think that would be such a fun match. I hope they do that.
Yeah, not...
Even if Kaito loses, like, I'd be fine with that.
I think that would work in the final. So let's go with the assumption that Kaito wins his block. It is number one. So that would leave our number ones as Kaito, Okada, Finley, and Naito.
Okay, yeah. I'm looking at it now, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Kaito would face C2, which could be Ishii or Shingo. Or Tama, maybe?
Yeah, that could be anyone, really.
Yeah, that's true. That blocks it weird.
Evil, even. Like that, yeah,
that's the one I hope is not, for Kaito's sake. Yeah. But that would kind of put Kaito in a weird position. Kaito's going to be in a weird position this whole tournament, because ultimately, if he advances, and I think he will, if he advances, he is going to eventually be treated as an outsider in this tournament, which could lead to something, like some growth for him, in my opinion, if he could get more of an edge in this tournament somehow. Because you would think the New Japan fans would rally behind Okada in their match.
Oh, of course. Yeah. That would be an insane dynamic, too.
Okay, I like this idea then. Okay, Ishii advances from C block. Kaito ends his Cinderella run. Is the quarterfinals. Okada would beat Tanahashi then, and then they would face each other in the semifinals. For C block, that would be Finley versus
B2.
Yeah, who was in B? Oh, Osprey.
Osprey, yeah.
Yeah, then Osprey could beat Finley. Okay, that actually makes perfect sense, too. Osprey takes out Finley, and then Naito would face A2, which for us would be Sonata.
That's weird, but
yeah,
I wouldn't rule them out. I wouldn't rule that out, especially if this is a 20-minute time limit. Like, I wouldn't rule out Naito beating Sonata.
Yeah.
In the block action.
Yeah.
And then winning the G1 and then challenging.
Yeah, I could see that. My original idea was one of Okada or Naito will beat Sonata, and then the other one will win the tournament. But the way the block is laid out, that would mean Okada would have to beat Kaito to get in there, which we don't want.
Well, hold on. What if Okada beats Kaito in the semifinal, but it's like a very competitive match and Okada, like, is there any way Kaito can get over in a loss versus Okada?
Here's the thing. I said this on the Patreon. I think even with a win, I think the best we hope for is that it stops the bleeding for what's happened with Kaito, because I think that match was so destructive that Okada had with Kaito.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a wonderful performance, but it made him look so bad and it made the company look bad.
Yeah.
And we saw that with the fan jumping the guardrail to tell him.
Yeah.
I think if there were any doubts about what that match did, I think that basically proved it. So even with a win, unless it was an equal win where he dominated Okada and got everything back, which is not going to happen, I think it would be more like, okay, this stops the bleeding on someone who's been on a free fall of just looking like a horrible geek for so long. And I think there's so much with him. There's so much baggage that he holds. Yeah. But with this Okada thing, like you said, it's bringing greatness out of him, and the fans are rallying behind it as well. The New Japan fans, how will they take to him? I think that's an interesting point. Because like I said, how will the New Japan fans react? Because if it was a Noah crowd, obviously everyone would rally behind Kaito, which is what you would want in this scenario. But in New Japan, that's not really possible.
I mean, I think Kaito is a good enough wrestler to get the crowd on his side if they build the match that way.
I think if you haven't seen him, like if you're not a regular Noah viewer, he is going to be an MVP candidate. And I think even if you have seen him, you know he can be an MVP candidate.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that he's among the best workers in this whole tournament for sure. So, yeah, like his in-ring stuff is going to get there. And I think he's going to win over a lot of new fans. I think the Okada story has to end with Okada beating him, though, unfortunately. I can't see New Japan doing this in any other way. Like I said, I'm always a skeptic when it comes to New Japan. But like I said, I think that first match was like so heinous of a character assassination that even if he wins, I wouldn't say let me put it this way. Even if he wins, I don't think that justifies the first match.
I think that's fair. Like, I think that the last couple months have shown like how damaging it's been to him, because it's basically just like, you know, when we talked, it was like right after the match, and I was like, oh, like it's going to spin into this like story, and he's going to have a new character, and he's going to like come back and it's going to be this whole arc. And like, that did not happen at all. Like, he just,
he's been on bench player.
He's been like just lingering in the same outfit with the same vibe, and he hasn't done anything to respond. So I'm with you that, like, I think something needs to happen.
And that's a great point that they should have done already, to be honest. But
they should have changed it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But maybe they can build to that. Imagine if, okay, let's say they face in the semifinals, and that's when he comes out all new gear, like, debuts a new move,
yeah,
totally new vibe. Like, if that happens, okay, maybe we might be cooking with something here. But I'm kind of with you about him not being in the N1 being kind of bad for Noah. To be honest, I mean, you lose your best wrestler in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes it feel, like you said, hopefully it works out. I'm rooting for this guy, but I feel the same way about the Muto storyline with him. It's like, yeah, he won at the end, but did it justify everything that came before it?
At what cost?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it really damaged him, even though on paper you would think, oh yeah, this is great. He beat Muto. Like, that's a good thing on paper. Oh yeah, he beat Okada. That's great on paper. But considering how we've gotten here, I think they need more to really push him over the edge. They need, like you said, maybe a change. I think that if they do that, I may be on board with this being a dramatic thing. But otherwise, I think they would have to have a really, like, super strong win for him over Okada to get there. And him versus Naito in the finals, I'd be totally down for if they did that. Him versus Naito in the quarterfinals, I'd be less excited about, because I think Naito is going to win. And if this G1 ends and there's no Kaito and Okada match, I'm just going to be mind boggled at that whole thing overall. But I guess if you think that you could, let's say that's a Wrestle Kingdom match. And even then, though, I don't think it's worth it. And like that's my problem. Like, was it worth it in the end? I think they're going to have to do something really special. And he's capable of it because we know him as a wrestler. But I think they would have to do something really special. But if he beats Okada, I think that stops the bleeding and at least gives you the chance to elevate him back up to where we want him to be, and he should be at the end of the day. So I'm not completely down on it. Like I said, I wouldn't have cared about him at all that much with what they've been doing him. I mean, he's been a total non-entity in Noah the last 3 months at this point. But now with this, and we saw the heat for him and Okada, I'm up for this. Like, I mean, I'm not super confident. Maybe I'm being delusionally optimistic for once here. But my heart beat again for the first time in a while for Kaito.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm excited either way. And I think, like, you know, I don't know how this happened. Like, I don't know if New Japan called Noah or if Noah called New Japan or if there was money involved. But, like, we saw the report about how New Japan's business was. Yeah. If you were in the Noah office and you were like, man, like, we got to get this win back, could you call them up and say, hey, we're going to give you this amount of money. All you got to do is take Kaito, this incredible wrestler, put him in the G1, have him pin Okada, and he'll job to whoever else you want. He'll job to Shota in the block, maybe. He'll job to Narita, and he'll lose in the final, or however you want to do it. We just need this W back. What's your price? Like, I don't know. If you're in New Japan, you've got to be like, oh, yeah, okay. It's one loss for Okada. It's, you know, he lost to Tamatanga last year. He lost to Jonah. Like, it's not like he's never been pinned.
Hey, to your point, too, To your point, too, he got a huge reaction at Dominion. Like, the crowd knew him.
Yeah, they know who he is. He's a great wrestler. Like, I think if you're New Japan and that offer comes across the desk, you got to be like, all right, yeah, like, what do we lose?
I also could see them purposely stretching this out to Wrestle Kingdom, if that is the case, for their benefit, pretty much. Yeah. Because we know there were some hurt egos over Noah's Muto show doing better than Wrestle Kingdom, even though they were a part of why that was, sending Okada and Naito over. You know, but I know that they probably didn't like that very much going in there. And I could see them saying, hey, we need to up Wrestle Kingdom from where it was last year. And that could be a great match for Okada if he isn't going for the title in the main event, because I'm really having a hard time buying Sonata as a Wrestle Kingdom main eventer. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but versus Naito, I think there's enough story and there's enough juice with Naito alone. He's still the most over guy in the country by far. Like, it's not even close. Like, you see any show. people are wearing the LIJ. They chant his name like crazy, even if he's in a second man, a second match in an 8-man tag. People are there to see Naito.
Well, look at the he was in the main event. Like that, Drew Wrestle Kingdom. He was in the main event. He was a big part of that as much as Muto.
He's the guy. You could put him in the Wrestle Kingdom. I mean, this is. Do you remember when he like sold out that Osaka show against like Jay Lethal in like 2016 or something? Like this guy, he could sell out an arena against anyone you're going to put in there. So I don't know. Like, is it crazy to think that Naito beats Kaito in the final? And then we just get, you know, maybe a Sonata defense for Shingo, and then Naito takes the belt at Wrestle Kingdom and finally gets his Tokyo Dome LIJ roll call, like, and Kenta doesn't ruin it this time. It seems like that's the way to go. Like, that's the slam dunk path. And sometimes New Japan does that, and sometimes they don't. But, like, I don't know. I feel like the writing's on the wall with this.
Yeah, you may be right about that. My idea was one of them would beat Sonata, and I mean Naito could do that. But then, I mean, let's say this happens. But again, Kaito would have to lose to Okada for this to happen. But let's say Naito beats Sonata in the quarterfinals. You know, let's say D1 versus A2.
Okay.
Okada wins the tournament. Naito gets a title shot versus Sonata in October, and then it's Naito and Okada for the title in the main event of the Dome.
And then happen.
They could set up another match with Kaito versus Okada next year for a title of some sort.
I mean, like, I've always been the person who's like, Kaito's not, it's not as bad as everyone says. And I know that's like, I'm really stretching thin at this point.
Well, yeah, but at like, this point, it's really stretching thin.
Yes. I think, like, I'm not as adamant about it now, especially over the last 2 months. But I think if he lost to Okada, but, like, it was a highly competitive match, and he got, like, a fist bump or some sort of acknowledgement at the end.
Yeah.
I think, like, you got to be like, all right, like, we'll take it. Like, if this is all you can get, I think you got to get that.
Yeah, maybe they could do something where it goes to the time limit, and then Okada like pins him in an overtime. Period.
Maybe. Yeah. Or like, I don't know. Like, there's like, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he just goes like 4-3 and he's not even in the mix. Cause like, I really can't, we can't trust.
Yeah. You're right.
How they handle him. Like, he could just,
you're right,
lose to everyone that matters and not even advance. But I don't think it's crazy to think that he goes pretty far and they pay back some part of the story versus Okada, because it's peculiar. They're not in the same block. Like, it makes it seem like there's something brewing there.
What about this idea? He beats Sonata, and he's the October title shot.
I think that's an option, too, but the only thing that like doesn't vibe with that for me is I feel like the LIJ story is not being told there. It like doesn't have to be. But
yeah, no. It's, let's say Naito wins the tournament. Kaito loses to Sonata in October, and then it's Sonata versus Naito.
Yeah, I just feel like Shingo makes more sense for that like October spot because of the LIJ link.
If that's the story they want to tell, yeah, that's a good point.
But they might not tell that story. Like, I'm not, like, we don't, you know, there's no way to tell for sure. But I think that could happen, too. I would be happy with that. If Kaito pins the champion and gets him jobs in a title match, that's what Marufuji did in 2016. Like, that's a good model. Like, that's fine. Like, I'd be okay with that.
That's true.
We'll see.
When is Kaito facing Sonata?
Oh, I have the schedule up right now. It is
Sonata's first match is against Hikuleo, of all people, in the tournament, which is not why I had in mind.
He's facing him on the main event on July 25th at Corken Hall.
Okay, so kind of a random night.
That's going to be a good match, though, I think.
Kaito's last match is against Hikuleo, doing the last card pick. That's not who I would want him to face.
Yeah, that's unusual. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a good sign, actually, for him. But, I mean, Sonata's facing Kid, but, I mean, there's only so many people. I think Umino and Tsuji is going to be the match where it's like, you know, that's going to be the big match of A-Block that night.
Yeah.
The tournament's going to be weird, people. Like, long story short, there's a lot of moving parts here. And we'll see what happens, but we are interested at least in what they do, I would say. There's a lot of options. There's Kaito, I think, no matter what, will have a great tournament. And in terms of wrestling, he's going to have some great matches. So that's them. I will go really quickly on our polls we did on Twitter, and we'll wrap it up with the questions. We got a few questions on Twitter we'll answer a little bit. So I did a series of polls, and all of them were based around, like, who is the best X at what? You know, and it's like All Japan, New Japan, and NOAH. So best champion, best world champion, New Japan. This is very close. Every company got a fair representation here. Sonata got 41%. Nagata got 30, and Jake got 29. So it's like Nagata and Jake are like right by each other, and Sonata's a little bit ahead. But in general, in my opinion, I don't want to invalidate the results or anything, but for me, New Japan's the biggest company, and they're going to automatically get a lot of votes in these a lot of times. So
yeah,
it's more or less even. Some of them were blowout votes, and this is one of the closer ones. So yeah, I mean, I think Jake is a better champion than Sonata, personally. And Nagata's okay. He's kind of like the opposite of Jake, where it's like the match versus Kento was fantastic, and then every match after was worse, like that came after it. And the T-Hawk match was still good, but it wasn't great overall. Do you have any issue with that, so to speak, besides us disagreeing with the poll entirely?
No, I think that. I mean, yeah, I have Jake as number one. Yeah, Nagata, so I've only watched the Kento match. I heard good things about the Ishikawa match, and I like Ishikawa a lot, but
he's like another broken down guy who's usually not that good, but in that match he turned down there. He's kind of like the Marufuji of All Japan.
Exactly,
Turned it back for one more match there. And the T-Hawk match was good too, but it wasn't super special.
No, but Jake would be my pick, though. Just like in-ring, I think he's done a great job. He's really improved. He's improved dramatically. And so I think it's, you know, he's a good champ right now.
Yeah, we talked about him earlier, and I set up my thoughts there. Which company has the best logo? New Japan got a 50% run here, and All Japan and NOAH are right by each other, 27% to 24%. Yeah, I think New Japan probably has the best logo. The best logo was the original NOAH logo. If they had never changed it, they'd win in a landslide, I think.
For logos, I think you're right. The old NOAH logo would be my favorite by far. I think their new logo I hate. Like, it would be the worst of the three for me. Yeah. I voted New Japan just because the lion mark is so iconic. All Japan's logo is cool too. It's very like classic, traditional. But I just don't like. I don't like the new NOAH logo. I kind of wish they never changed it.
I think this is better than the red dot logo just because it has the green in it. Like, it gives them something to hang their head on, but it's not great. I do agree. But, yeah. The New Japan logo was the best one to me, too. And I liked the All Japan logo as well. But bring back the old NOAH logo. That's the one that's the best. Which company has the best production values? NOAH won this in a landslide. 68%. All Japan only had 7%, and then New Japan had 25%. I don't know why they voted for All Japan, because, I mean, that's clearly the place they lag behind the most, I would say, just because New Japan and NOAH are owned by big companies with lots of money, and All Japan is like, they do their own thing. So, yeah, I think NOAH is definitely – that's the thing they clearly shine at the best, is with their production values, whether it's the arenas, the setups – the graphics they make, everything about them is top-notch. And I like everything about them. We were talking off the air. I think their commentary is among the best as well. So I like everything about NOAH's production.
Yeah, I mean, all the stuff you listed, they totally just knock it out of the park. The other thing, too, is Wrestle Universe is so much better than New Japan World. And all AJPW TV is, like, it's most basic.
They're trying.
It's like BJW core level. Although at least it has
it's not as bad as them, but yeah.
Not as bad as core, but it's like one tier above. Because at least there's like live streaming on AJPW TV, but it's like you can't, there's not even like a thing to click to like just fast forward a few seconds. You gotta like drag the cursor to like find where you want to go. Versus like Wrestle Universe, which is like one of the best streaming, like just like UI wise, like the interface is fantastic. The way everything is built out is fantastic. And then obviously their actual production on the shows, their branding, it's phenomenal. Like, it makes sense that they would win.
Yep. Which company has the best tag division? New Japan won 40%. Noah had 33%. And All Japan at 27%. So another kind of closest one. I think Noah's tag division has been basically what's kept them afloat, like in terms of heavyweights. That they've, even when things were getting kind of bad, I think that they have always stood tall. Right now we're in a little bit of a rough patch with Saxley, but Huxley. But with Axis around the corner, I think that's going to continue to be a strength of theirs. New Japan's all right. Bishamon has had a great year, but then they kind of broke it for Aussie Open, and then they just left. So, and I mean, the last match was a House of Torture match, which was better than I thought it would be, to be honest with you. But still, I would take Noah's tag division.
Where do we, are we counting like the junior tag divisions? Or is this just
I guess I didn't list them. In my mind, I was thinking heavyweights.
Okay.
But you are allowed. I didn't specifically say that, so you're allowed to say either one you want.
Well, no, because I think New Japan's junior heavyweight tag division is pretty good. It's pretty interesting. Like, I think
Noah would be last if that case.
Noah does. Yeah, it's like they barely have a division, really, like at this point. It's like the same handful of teams. Although they have Dragon Bane and Alpha Wolf, who are exceptional. And,
like, yeah, but Stinger stuff overrides any good that could come out of that division.
That's true. They seem to always be like they're going to be taking the title next. But right now, with good-looking guys, I think it's better than it's been when the belt's been. But overall, I do think that even with heavyweight tag divisions, I like Noah's a lot. I think like with Kenno and Soya have been really good this year.
Yep, another good team.
Kitamiya and Inaba, and then Kitamiya and Inamura. I hope we get more Thatcher and Hideki.
Me too.
That's like one of my favorite teams, and that's like even possible in Noah. But and then Axis, like I think it's all gonna revolve around them eventually, and so they would definitely be my pick there.
Yeah, company has the best junior division. New Japan dominated this, 68%. All Japan at 18%, and Noah had 15. Yeah, I think New Japan has the best one, just because of depth and. Like, the booking of the juniors is, like, to me, the worst thing. Like, I hate the stuff they've done with Kaito for a long, long time now, but I still am more offended by the juniors in Noah. Like, I hate them so much. And I do think All Japan, despite all of their limitations, I would still rather watch their brand than Noah.
Yeah, that's fair. I think New Japan is definitely the best just because, like, the high-end talent. Like, I think I love Desperado. I think he's one of the best wrestlers in the world.
I moved him to Noah in our move people around game. I moved him to Noah.
I would love that so much. Hiromu, I think, is having a fantastic year. And, like, Hiromu was a little stale, I think, for a few years. Like, it was But this year, he figured it out again, and he's been great. The thing with Noah's junior division that sucks is just, like, there is talent there. Like, when you really start to go down the roster, like, they have a lot of guys that are, like, kind of under the radar. Like, they have Amakusa, they have Hiroki, they have Kotoge, and then, but the way they book it is just, like, horrible. It's just...
Yeah, the talent is not the issue at all. It's overall. And, well, the talent is the issue because the ones they push are the worst ones, unfortunately. Like, none of those guys you said are the ones that get opportunities. Instead, it's people that shouldn't, overall, but...
Yeah.
But best overall company, New Japan wins that, 62%, Noah at 20, and All Japan at 18. So Noah did come out a little bit ahead of All Japan, but it's really close. Yeah, I think New Japan's better now than they have been in a lot of years. Noah, I think, are making strides the last month or so, like month or two with this Jake title reign. I think they're moving ahead in a decent way. I'm pretty hype about him versus Sugira. The junior division is a really bad point, like even now, even though I think they're doing better with the tag, at least with Yohei and Tadasuke, they're doing much better. But with Hayata as champion, I don't think I could ever get really invested, and Stinger stuff still going on. Leona is not the answer for me to really be into the new junior division. Maybe it is for some people. No disrespect to Leona, a very successful man, and his dad was an all-time great, but All Japan... They've been real up and down. Like, there's moments I think they're on the verge of turning the corner, and then there's something I just, like, smack my head against the wall against and think, like, oh, man, what? But, yeah, I think New Japan was the best one right now.
Yeah, I mean, I still am a Noah fan. Like, if I had to pick to watch a show between both, you know, I'm going to pick Noah. Like, and we've talked about this. I think it's just, when it comes to, like, pure match quality in a vacuum, like, you don't know anything about these wrestlers, turn on the match and see if it entertains you kind of idea. Like, Noah clears New Japan for me in that regard. I think, and I mentioned this to you off the air, like, your coverage of Dominion on the Patreon is really insightful. Because, Dominion was a great show, like, story-wise, but match quality-wise, nothing other, like, the six-man tag was really good, but, like, nothing really blew me away from, like, this is a match of the year candidate, this is 4 3/4, this is 5 stars. On, like, most Noah big shows, like, there are a handful of matches that are good to great, and then, like, even, you know, like, they just had that Kenno Nakajima match that was amazing, the 45-minute time limit, like, on a random house show. And so, their match quality for me is what just keeps me coming back, even if there's situations where, like, the booking is just, like, confusing, or the storylines are not making sense, or everything is start and stop. I know that if I, like, turn on a show, I'm still going to get a fantastic match. And I think it's just, like, rooted in how I, like, started watching Japanese wrestling in the first place, like, just downloading random matches off, like, LimeWire or whatever.
Yeah, yes, I think we've all been, anybody who started watching before, like, New Japan World has that same experience, I would say, but...
Yeah, and so, like, that makes you, like, you would just download a match, you'd be like, oh, this Kenta guy is cool, I know, I liked him, and it's, like, a random tag, and you're just, like, get so lost in the actual storytelling in the match. Like, I didn't know what was happening in Noah in the mid-2000s, because I was just watching random shows and matches I found.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what I look for in wrestling, and that's why I still, like, am into Noah, even though, like, their booking and the general progression of their wrestlers and the story and the development, like, New Japan has that down to, like, a science, and it's really incredible to see how they do it and how they build their stars up. And so I get why, like, that, you know, it's easy to get emotionally invested in a company where you know the stories are going to be logical and it will end and will be, like, told well. With Noah, it's more just about what's happening in between the bells.
Yeah, I agree with that. I totally get where you're coming from. I love the talent on Noah's roster. You talked about all those great junior guys. If they could get around to spotlighting some of them, I think it would help me as a fan a lot more. And we'll have to see what happens going forward with that, because there is upside right now with them. Before we get out of here, we got a few questions from the fans. These should be pretty quick to knock out. Thank you to everybody who listened, and also thank you for everybody who voted in the polls and sent us questions. We really appreciate it. So let's go to IR_starter, to be exact, Liam. He messaged us saying, Kaito versus Okada is clearly the feud of the year at this point. How would you book Kaito's G1 to keep it going? So not what you think they'll do. How would you do it? Win the tournament.
No, I think, how I would do it, in, like, a quasi-realistic way, would be what I outlined. Like, he beats Okada in a quarterfinal, and the semifinals, he loses to Naito in the final.
Yeah, I think that's the best way you could go about it. Just have him beat Okada, and then have him lose to Naito in the finals. I agree with that. I also think my main point is I want to see him change something a little bit, and maybe get more of an edge in terms of his how he wrestles and what he can do. Because one of my favorite runs of all time in the G1 was Jun Akiyama from Noah in 2003, which he was the heel outsider, and it led to an amazing win for Tenzan at the end of, like, a legendary final. If he could be that kind of guy to where he could feel himself and find that extra gear, even though that's not really who he is as a wrestler, nor what this storyline calls for either, because Okada is that guy who's, like, you know, that way. Yeah. So it's gonna be interesting to see what he can do.
The other thing I think is, you and I have talked about how Kaito's, like, Misawa sort of tribute. I wonder if him being in another company as, like, the Noah representative will push him to, like, go more back towards that. Like, will he come out with, like, green gear? And will he be like, I'm back to being, like, the Noah ace and doing the Misawa stuff?
That's what I'm
hoping that maybe it will go in that direction, because he's like, he's representing Noah, you know, like in the tournament, literally. So I'm hoping it pushes him to be more of like, it just develops his character more along that road.
Here's what I would do. I would have him beat Okada, and in the match, here's exactly how the finish would go. He hits multiples of his big moves. And it looks like he's about to win, but suddenly he pulls up and locks in the Majigatame in Noki's move, and Okada taps out as a revenge for him using the Emerald Flosion on Kaito to make him look bad. He wins with Inoki's move and just sets Okada on the warpath to Wrestle Kingdom. If that happened, I think that would be very entertaining and also a very successful putting over of Kaito, that he gets elevated even with losing to the finals. I think that would be an amazing moment.
That would be amazing, yeah. I would like to see him use the Emerald Flosion. Like, I think if he needs a new finisher, why not just...
The thing is, he did what I wanted at the start of the year when he did the Tiger Suplex into the Tiger Driver.
Yeah, that was an amazing move, yeah.
Yeah, why didn't he use that as his finisher going forward? Very weird going in there. But yeah, if they could do that, I'd be down with that too. But him using Inoki's move to win would be like the ultimate flex that would kind of pay back. Like, that would be the one way I think they could kind of pay back what happened with February. At Zaid Fayaz, he says, what do you think about Kiyomiya missing 13 Noah dates to do the G1? Well, it kind of sucks, but on the other hand, I mean, it's much less likely he gets injured working one of the tournaments instead of the other. We have to know how it turns out before we say if it's good or not. Like, you know, if he just goes 4-3, then I think it's clear that this was a poor decision overall. If he gains something from it, maybe you can point to that. But even then, I think it's not a good look that they're just like, okay. I mean, look at how AEW books their roster at G1. They don't want people to go into G1 because they care too much about them to lose them. That's why you send in mid-card dudes like Archer and Kingston. So that basically kind of says, okay, well, we could get by without Kaito. Like, well, it'll be fine. And I don't think
I think I kind of like what I said earlier, like them, like, you know, cutting off their nose, like, spite their face, sort of. Like, hey, let's do this short-term thing, and, like, maybe it pans out in the long run. Like, we'll get more fans. The other thing with the N1 is, like, the champion traditionally, like, has not been in it. Like, I think there was one year where the champ was, but normally the champ has sat out. So, like, they've had the tournament without, like, a big star before.
Yeah, Kenno was in last year, right? He was a champion.
He was. I think the year before... they did it. I know, like, in a few years, they've had it where the champion sits out. I think, like, when wasn't Marufuji champion in 2021?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's when he sat out.
And he sat out. And I think the year before, it was a similar situation. But, like I said before, yeah, like, this is, like, the N1. It's, like, your big deal. And you're just, like, taking your ace and, like, telling them, hey, you know, like, we don't need you. Now, do they have something up their sleeve?
That's a good question.
Do they have a Kento Miyahara that wants to do an N1? Then maybe it's like, okay, well, we can get by. It's 1 year.
And honestly, even if Kaito wins, sorry to interrupt you, but I was making this point. Even if Kaito does gain something from all of this, the perception would be they're basically agreeing then. Like, if they come in and he's a hailed hero, and let's say he doesn't win the G1. He comes back as the hero for beating Okada, and everyone talks about how great he is now. That's basically telling your fans, the G1, he couldn't have done this in our tournament. Our tournament isn't nearly as good as the G1. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's another kind of, you know, little brother syndrome type of deal.
That's fair. I mean, but it's true. Like, that's the thing.
It is true. Yeah,
It's like... I don't know. I see what you're saying. Like, you always want to project yourself to be a bigger deal than you are. Like, that's a good branding and business strategy. You want to seem like you're the biggest game in town, but, like, they're not. And so maybe they're just, like, eating the L and being like, all right, well, he has a better chance. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see how it pans out. I'm very curious to see who's in the N1 and if they have someone to make up for it.
All good points. I think we have to wait and see on that one. But my initial thought is that it's kind of bad. but we'll see how it plays out. I think there's ways it could be good in the end, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
At the Gleet Muda, Bang Bang Gang, Liam Jones of You Gotta Be Kidding Me podcast, he said, not so much a question. He didn't ask a question at all, in fact. He just says that, I think All Japan came across really well and all together. If All Japan had better production put into their shows, it'd be a can't miss, but that really holds them back. Yeah, I think that's the thing with them. I do like how they came across. They had a lot of guys that stood out big. I mean, the main event, I thought Kento, I got a huge reaction from the crowd. You know, we talked about Rising Hayato and how good he looked. Omori stood out to me. All of their guys had great effort, even though I think I said this on Twitter, actually, that the show itself was made, it was designed so New Japan would shine. Like, they'd be the top dog, as all of their shows are.
Yeah.
But through Will, I think All Japan did a great job standing out. And Noah had a couple of standout guys, like we mentioned Ridgeway earlier, and obviously the stuff with Kaito and Okada everybody was talking about. But I do think, just grading them one by one, I do think if you just didn't know anybody and you look at them all on an equal playing field, All Japan wrestlers probably shined more than the Noah guys on that show.
Yeah, I think like I think a lot of it depends on like what type of fan you are, because I feel like if you were like a New Japan fan and you'd never seen anyone else. Like, I think Kenno and Axis would have stood out to you just because you and I both know they're, like, great wrestlers and we're, like, used to them. So it wasn't surprising for them to, like, look good because it's just how they normally look. I do – but, like, if you were, like, kind of in the know and, like, maybe you had heard of some of these people, the names that you mentioned of, you know, Ridgeway, Omori, and Rising Hayato were definitely the ones that, like, stood out as being, like, oh, they're, like, kind of – punching above their weight class. Like, they look better than we're kind of used to. And that did make All Japan look really good. And, like, I think Kento looked really good in the main event. Like, he showed that he was at that level.
But, he got a lot of Kento maniacs on the
Yeah, he got, yeah. Kento mania was running wild in the main event. I will admit that. But I think, like, yeah, I mean, if you just watch New Japan and you don't watch Noah and you don't watch All Japan and you watch the show, you'd probably be way more excited about All Japan.
And what he said was true, though, about, like, if, let's say you were excited, you see that production values, it's a big drop off.
Yeah, it's not good. It's, like, hard to watch AJPW TV.
Yeah, it's a big drop off.
Everyone should still subscribe, by the way. You know, like, we want to support these companies, like, if you can.
Like I said, they've had their ups and no, don't support any of this. No, but, like, I think that, like, this thing that my whole show was about here. But, no, I think that, you know, you definitely want to support them. And they're an up-and-down company, but in general, and you could say the same about Noah in a lot of ways, although, obviously, they do stuff that's maybe more frustrating in a lot of ways, but at the end of the day, they're all kind of good. They're like, you know, in their own ways, pretty much. They're worth watching. They have down times for sure where you're thinking like, oh, what the hell is this all about? I felt that way about both All Japan and Noah and New Japan many, many times. But there's also other times where it's like, oh, this is an amazing moment. I go back to Yuma's win of the Champion Carnival over Jake, which felt like an epic win. It's something that was on the level of your major wins. You know, you've seen big moments like Kaito and Kenno had amazing matches, even though it wasn't the main event of the thing there.
Yeah.
But they had the match of the night. You know, there's been a lot of great moments in Noah as well, especially going way back. But, yeah, they're all good in their own way. So we'll see how it goes. But I guess I kind of transition to the last question, which is from Donut_Desperado. I like that name a lot. ABQ Mike. What is the trajectory for the three companies from this show going forward? Which is kind of a great way to end the show on. But what do you think, Dean? I'll let you have the floor first.
All right. Well, I'll start with All Japan, I think.
In fact, we'll go back and forth. We'll do one company back and forth here. So
Japan. So for All Japan, I would say it's all about, I think Yuma Anzai is probably the best talent, like the best prospect in Japanese wrestling in a long time. I think like he has potential to really be someone special. I think like that's really the future for them. I don't know what's going to I think there's a chance they put the belt on him because like, I don't know what else they're going to do. Does Nagata hold it until Ishino comes back? Like, maybe. But Nagata seems like he's kind of, you know, I don't know how much more gas is in the tank with that run.
Yeah.
And they just announced that Kento and Yuma are challenging for the tag belts. So it seems like they're probably going to win that, because I don't know how much longer Kento is going to be working All Japan shows. So that ties up the two guys that you think, like, they could, you know, shuffle into the Triple Crown scene if they need to. So I don't know, like, if they put the belt on Anzai, like, that's very exciting. Like, I would be really on board with that. I think he's really talented. I haven't, like, seen that many, like, amazing matches from him. He's still kind of being built as a, he's still, like, a young, you know, young lion technically, but he, like, has beaten a lot of people. I don't know what, like, a Triple Crown champion Yuma Anzai looks like, but that would be super exciting. Like, I would be eager to tune in as someone who, like, casually watches All Japan. That would make me a lot more excited to watch them. So, but then if not, I guess you just, like, hope that Shitaro Shino heals up and he comes back, and they have a lot of young guys that are talented. I mean, and you have Kento. I'm curious to see, like, if they do anything else with Noah over the course of the year, because it seems like that feud is still kind of, you know, simmering. But I think it's pretty much all about Yuma Anzai. Like, if I'm like an All Japan fan, like, I'm just always excited that I have this generational prospect that could be one of the best wrestlers in Japan, you know, over the next decade.
Yeah, I think those are all really good points you made. I think that, to me, the best prospect before this would be Kaito. You know, he was tasked to be, because remember, he came in at the time of Suzuki-gun just ruining everything. And he was kind of like the guy that was like, hey, this guy can lead this company to good things no matter how bad it is right now. And when he came back, remember, his first match back was somewhat similar to Tsuji, where he went right to the main event, challenged Kenno for the title, and their first match together. And that did a huge number. They sold out Korakuen with that.
Yeah.
And, like, it did way better. Noah was way down, like, before he came back, and it went up almost immediately upon his return. Obviously, things have gone sideways in so many ways since those days. But he was an amazing prospect, Kaito was. Anzai's at a totally different level with how they push him compared to basically anybody in terms of a rookie status that I can remember. I can't remember anybody in Japan getting this kind of run in just a few months, basically. I mean, he debuted at September last year, and he's already getting a title.
I mean, it's like, I guess Nakamura, didn't he kind of have, he was like a super.
Supernova. Yeah, well, that's
20 years ago.
Yeah, and that was because he won MMA fights in the Inokizumera. And he's like, well, we got to have a guy who's a shooter, and they picked him, and that was okay. It wasn't the greatest. It was more bad because it's like Tenzan had just won the title. It would be like if Goto had won the title in New Japan, then it's like he lost to a rookie right away. It's like, okay, this kind of makes it look like a clown. Or like if Kaito had won the title and then he like lost to Ozawa right away, it'd be like, what? If that happened. So, yeah, but like you said, that was a good example, actually. Good job on that one, bringing that up.
Thanks.
Yeah, but he's very exciting. Wonderful talent. Everybody loves him. I love Aoyagi a lot. I think that he's a wonderful performer, one of the best in Japan to me, as an all-around guy. I love his, just everything about him, I actually like a lot. Kento, I've had my issues with, kind of like I said before, it's like I think about him and I think I don't like him, and then at the end of the year, it's like you see all these things that he's done that were great, and it's like, oh, okay, I guess you are actually kind of good, even though I kind of think I don't like you. Junior division has made great strides. I think Doi did a good job with the title. We'll see what happens with Atsuki. I think they've done a good job, say what you want, about pairing Atsuki and Hayato off as generational rivals for the division. And I think that's very useful for a company that doesn't have they don't have the resources that Noah and New Japan has. They just don't at the end of the day. And they try to get the most out of it. Again, I have some issues for sure. I think that the Voodoo Murder stuff is awful. and has really played a lot in that company for a while. The Champion Carnival, I mean, you said it yourself. You watched 5 days and that was it. You know, you didn't even make it. And there was just nothing that great. It's not like I have all these great match recommendations to point to you to. There was maybe three or four throughout a whole tournament. And with the Noah tournament, to compare the wrestling, there's going to be a lot of great matches. No matter who's in it, you know that the talent will deliver at the end. So they're trying to get the most out of a limited roster. To your point about Noah and All Japan, I hope they keep working together because I think it's actually been really fruitful to have them. I would like to see us get to the point where, since they refuse to do it with DDT for whatever reason, you could have an All Japan guy. Like you mentioned Kento earlier. Perfect example. Yeah. Put him in the N1. See what he could do. And then when Champion Carnival comes around, that's a prestigious tournament that has a lot of name value. Put one of their younger guys in the carnival. I think it would help them out a lot. You could do some big things and have more fresh matches here and there. So we did see Soya in the Champion Carnival this year, too. So we're already kind of there. So you think that would be somebody. I think the hope would be Kento. As far as Anzai and Nagata, I think that either way is pretty viable. I don't completely count out Anzai winning. My gut tells me Nagata will hold it and basically just... Because a lot of people predicted that maybe Aoyagi would just win the Royal Road tournament that happens in August and then challenge in September for their big show. And you could kind of build it up to where if Ashino hadn't gotten injured, maybe he would have won and then built to him versus Aoyagi in September. And now it's like Nagata just rides this out, and then you see it because Ashino's going to be injured for a while, right? I think he's going to be out till
December. Yeah, he broke his arm. Yeah, I think it was pretty bad. But he was on commentary altogether, and he like wasn't in a cast. So people were saying that it might be quicker than we expect. But
if he can get back to the tournament, then that may change some things. But nevertheless, whatever happens, I think All Japan right now, the carnival was not successful, although the final show did a huge number with T-Hawk and Ashino, which speaks well to them. I think still, though, the carnival was kind of a drag, and they're moving up. Like, after this latest run in All Together, I feel like they're on the right path in a lot of ways. So I'm actually kind of excited to see what they do. I'll be really excited if Anzai wins, but I can't let myself believe such a thing until it happens.
Yeah.
New Japan. Let's talk about them real quick, and we'll end it with Noah, since that is your favorite, after all.
What
do you think about them?
I, like, over the last couple months, like, went from watching mostly big New Japan matches to, like, I watched every Best of the Super Juniors show because the whole, like, energy around the promotion is really exciting with this. Like, when I really got into Japanese wrestling, I, like, took a hiatus for a while, but I really got back in 2015, and it was just with New Japan. And so I saw Hirai Kawato and, you know, then Shota Umino and Ren Narita as Young Lions. And then, you know, Tsuji and Uemura. And then to see them, like, now come back and, like, they're all these matches that I imagined, you know, 5 years ago would happen are happening now. It's like such an incredible part of following pro wrestling is like seeing someone develop and then like it's actually happening and like you're finally like there and you're watching it and you're seeing like Yota Tsuji with his new offense and like his new look and is he an LIJ? Who's he going to join? And like, so that's like so exciting and so energizing, and it makes it like really worthwhile to be a fan of. Obviously, Okada's on this like incredible run right now. I think I have him as my wrestler of the year overall. He's just been in so many great matches. His whole demeanor now is really fantastic with him feuding with, you know, the like youth movement and just how, you know, he has like an edge to his character now that he's never really had before. That's really, really captivating. I love Naito, so I'm really excited to see how that story pans out. And like, you know, like I said, the match quality is not always there for me. Especially at a show like Dominion, I was kind of like, I was really happy with the story of the show, but like match quality wise, it, you know, I wasn't that thrilled. But the stories are still amazing. And I know, like, whatever story they tell over the next, you know, 6 months going into the Wrestle Kingdom is going to be really captivating. And they're still the best in the world when it comes to that. So I'm really excited about the G1. I'm really excited to see what the younger talent does. And I think it's, like, going to lead to a really interesting Wrestle Kingdom.
I definitely agree with a lot of that. I think short term, the trajectory is definitely up. With Forbidden Door happening, you're going to get a lot of dream matches on that show. I mean, Kata and Danielson, I mean, that's like the ultimate dream match in a lot of ways. Ospreay and Omega is going to get a ton of publicity for that show. Oh, that's another thing we didn't mention about G1. I don't completely write off, like, Ospreay is kind of like my dark horse to win. Hmm. I completely write off Omega showing up to challenge for the title after all of this in some way. I could definitely see that happening. If they wanted to finish this story at Tokyo Dome, and I mean, I wouldn't really be in favor of this. I mean, the first match went really well. We'll see what happens at Forbidden Door. But to a lot of fans, especially if they're looking to, they just say, look, our gates are down. We're not getting the fans we want. And I don't know if they feel that way, but let's just say they do for the sake of this argument. We're not getting as many fans to these shows as we want. It's way down from pre-pandemic. That's a fact. Let's try to appeal to international fans. Like, we're going all in on the international market. The biggest match you could do is Omega versus Ospreay in the main event for the title. If that's their goal. I could see that happening, honestly. I wouldn't predict it. I don't think it's likely. But that's like my dark horse pick if they're going to set Ospreay and Omega for the third match in the Dome, to main event the Dome.
I actually, like, on the Super J-Cast Discord, you know, I love the Super J-Cast. Shout out to them. We were talking about this recently because, like, I've always been of the opinion that, like, they really should, like, focus on the opposite and not invest that much in foreign talent.
I agree. You're like, what? Yeah.
And so, like, looking at those numbers, like, I think that I was looking at some interesting stuff that basically panned out to, like, about 7% of their total revenue comes from, like, foreign New Japan World subscribers. Because a lot of people that subscribe to New Japan World are in Japan. Because, like, we were talking about this before the show, like, younger people and the way Japan's economy is, like, why spend all the money on a ticket if you could just subscribe to New Japan World and watch all the shows? Like, it just doesn't really make sense, you know, financially. It's interesting because it does seem like they are still really adamant on expanding internationally. And, you know, like with Ospreay and with working with AEW.
Look, they're doing a show the first time ever bringing the strong guys over.
Yeah.
July 4th.
Yeah. Independence Day stuff.
Yeah.
So it seems like they maybe think, like, that is a viable market. But I would rather just – I really want to see them, like, you know, Bret Narita, Shota Umino. Like, these are the guys that are going to carry your company. Because Ospreay is going to leave to go to AEW, I think. And,
well, we already saw that with Aussie.
Yeah. Like, the foreign talent are going to go no matter what. Like, they're not going to be there in the long run. And so you need to have – like, Bret Narita needs to be on that, like, Shibata level. Like, you need him to be in that mix in, like, a year or two. Like, if it's a Great Okan situation where he's been back for 2 years and he's just kind of like a mid-card dude, they're going to be in trouble. So they need to, like, get this group of people to be the next main event talent group. And so I would hope that that's, like, the direction they go in.
And we don't know. Well, remember this year, too, Mercedes played a big role in getting people into a Wrestle Kingdom.
Yes, that's true.
You know, buying in there. Again, I'm just speculating. I don't know what they think for sure. Like, you know, but if that is their case, if they just think, look, the gates are down, like, they don't listen to those reasons. They just say the gates are down and we need to move to the international market more. And again, I'm with you. Like, if it was Dylan's New Japan and I suddenly got hired tomorrow to do all that stuff, I'm like you. I think they need to focus on the new guys.
Yeah.
You've got great talents that you can really build around for the future. And they have shown, I think they've done a lot better the last year to kind of bring it back to the question. they've done way better the last year in terms of doing different things, interesting things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, not falling into the same pitfalls they had for so long. I think I'm way higher on them now than I was even a year ago, but especially 2 to 3. Even really, for a long time, I was more down on New Japan than a lot of people, but I'm more up on them now. My one issue with them is the champion. I just think that Sonata is not somebody I'm ever going to be interested in, no matter what he's doing or who he faces. I just don't want to see him have big matches. So, and whenever he's in the main event, the best we can hope for is what we've seen so far, which was like, okay, that match with Hiromu was good. It's not really memorable, but it was good. This match with Tsuji was more like, hey, let's spotlight Tsuji, and they did and he did a fantastic job in that. But I feel the same about the junior champion as well. And he's a great wrestler, Hiromu. But in a lot of his junior matches, the fans rally behind the other guy. I think he's so outgrown that division. I mean, going back to the very beginning of the year, the fans rallied behind Wato in the Tokyo Dome. They even rallied behind Ohara in the Noah vs. New Japan show. They rallied behind Yo, Leo Rush. Right down the line, the fans took the side of the other person. And I think then you see him versus Sonata, and he's getting huge reactions. The fans are going crazy for Hiromu. It shows you that everyone loves him, but he just doesn't belong in this division anymore. I was really disappointed he wasn't in the G1. Again, that's a point we didn't really bring up, but I was very disappointed he wasn't in there. I thought he had a lot going for him as a heavyweight.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens. But in the end, that's my problem with them right now. The tag team, I said that earlier, love Bishamon, but they kind of wrecked the title reign in the middle of it for Aussie Open, and that backfired. So none of the titles are particularly good. Catch 2-2. Another one. Like, they messed the title around. Who knows what they're doing with Kushida? Like, right now, the things are a little weird with how they're booking him. But I think that if they just get a couple of things at the top straight, they've actually built a great foundation for where they're going in the future. But with Sonata, it's hard for me to really say I'm that emotionally invested in the company, in all honesty, because there's nobody he could face that I would really be feel like is a huge deal. I know that to LIJ fans, Naito is going to feel like a major main event, but I'm not that into that. So, like, for me personally, yeah, as a fan, I think if you're a fan, if they do that, let's say they go to the Dome, Sonata versus Naito, I wouldn't hate that. Like, I don't think that's – I mean, I wouldn't like it, but I don't think it's a bad decision. I hate things that are both – I don't like and also are stupid decisions, which is a lot of the stuff with Kaito and Stinger and all of that.
That's
Naito versus Sonata is not a bad decision. It's just something I personally am not that into. But still, their trajectory to me is clearly way better than it was in the past.
Yeah, I think they also just do a bad job with title. Ever since they did this like merger with titles, it's been kind of directionless. Like, none of the titles have identity anymore. They used to have identity. The Intercontinental title had a role. The NEVER title had a role. Now there's, like, new belts. None of them really matter. Like, whatever. Where the U.S. belt's, like, not even around anymore. It's, like, just Kenny has it, and he's not defending it.
Yeah.
It's just, like, they've done a really poor job managing that. And like you said, the last few title reigns, too, have been these, like, start-stop ones. I guess they want Hiromu to break this record, but none of the fans seem to be investing in him, and they always want to see him lose. Not a great title scene in pretty much most of the titles. So I think like we just need like someone like Shota or Narita to like really step their game up and get in a world heavyweight title match like Tsuji did, and like start getting the belt on those guys. And I think that will be really exciting when it happens.
Yeah, I agree with that. And like I said, they've got the foundation for great things in the future, but I'm still a little down on the champion at the moment. But that's really my only complaint, because they've done a lot of things right so far. Like, that, to me, they're at the best position of anybody, not just in terms of they're the most popular company, but I think they've actually done a good job of actually being the best company, which I don't think they've done in a lot of the years they've been up there. So,
yeah.
Noah, I'll go first to let you kind of close it out, since it's your thing. It's rough, you know, because they're such a weird company up and down to me, just as a viewer. I know Striga doesn't like them that much a lot of times when we try and talk about them. I think he did actually like the last show, though, which I did too, the May Majestic show. That was a good show with the heavyweights, and if you just skip the junior stuff, you're going to get a really good show up and down to me. The champion, I said it before, Jake, doing a good job. I'm into his title reign. Love Wagner's title reign as national champion. What you said about the identity was so true for New Japan's titles, and that title does have one now, and it's in large part to how they've used him. And yeah. It makes me just – it sucks because it's like, why can't you do this all the time? Like every championship could be just as good as this. And maybe they're getting there with the world title. Just like I said, I mean, it's kind of like a Jekyll and Hyde scenario. The heavyweights are almost always good, and I like them. Even stuff that I didn't have a lot of high expectations for, like Marufuji challenging Jake, that turned out to be a great match. And Sugera, one of the all-time greatest, is going to be amazing. The heavyweights, I really like, even though the problem is that they don't have that guy. They don't have the dude, like Okada in New Japan or Kento in All Japan. Kaito, you hope, can get there with this latest attempt at something. But clearly it hasn't worked to this point. Like, whatever you want to say about where they're at. And I think they're missing that guy, and you hope that he can get there because, I mean, I like Ozawa, to be honest with you. He's a really good-looking prospect. I like his style in the ring, too. I think he really emotes well, too, and carries himself like a fiery youngster. Obviously, that's years down the line. And in this company, I mean, even Inamura is just like, and who's to say? I mean, this tough run, they did that years ago, and he went right back to second match hell.
Yeah.
So there's no telling. Like, this could be a short-term thing, and he's back there. He wasn't even in the N1 last year. You've got people leaving under questionable circumstances. It's not – I'm higher on them after that show and even after this show, even though the All-Together show to me wasn't as great as it could have been. You know, really the main event stood tall and the other ones didn't. But I think that when you look at it, Noah has done a lot right lately. With the heavyweight title scene in particular, I think the tag teams have always been good. The junior, I just cannot get behind up and down. Like, even though they have talent, it's so misused that I just don't enjoy anybody in that scene. I think they need a complete, you know, upheaval, I think. And just move some pieces around, get some people out of the way. And maybe somebody like Hayata, you know, he has his fans, obviously. I understand that. But there's no need for him to be the champion like anymore. He's done it for so long. And, yeah, I just think, like, the heavyweights are doing good right now. The juniors are terrible. And the story is not there with the big guys to where you're, like, super. Because I enjoy this Jake run, but I can't say I'm emotionally invested in it. I have to say. I think it's, like, a good worker doing good matches. But I can't say I'm, like, super invested in where he goes. Even Sugera, who I love him to death and think he's one of the greatest ever. This is going to be an awesome-ass match. But I don't know how much more he has in the tank in terms of emotional investment. I think he's still a great worker. But emotionally invested, I think they would need to get somebody fresh in. Maybe they'll do that within one. But I will say they're better now than they were when we last did our show, me and you. I think I'm a little higher on them than I was then, just because I was really down on a lot then. But I think that they're moving in the decent direction. Not, and even then, there's a lot of questions. So they're really, let me put it this way. They're a very questionable company. I don't even know what to think of them, really. But what say you, Dean?
I mean, I think that's fair. Like, I was pretty down on them, like, a month or two ago. Like, when Yota Tsuji came back and people were getting excited for that and for Best of the Super Juniors. And it was kind of like... like being like a kid and like your neighbors having a really cool party and you're like looking over the fence and you're like, oh man, like that looks so fun. Like this, I want to like go there and see what's going on. I'm like sick of what's happening here. And then like, you know, watching more New Japan and really like seeing, you know, watching every show and seeing how they build things up. And it made me like really think about like what Noah is, right? And so I think there's an issue with like their identity. Like, what are they as a company? And it's, like, kind of hard to put your finger on it.
We've made those points before. That sometimes it seems like they're just I mean, they have so much variety on their shows. I'll give them this. I mean, look at it. You have lucha guys, like really random lucha guys.
Yeah.
You've got crazy heel tactics. You've got soap opera melodrama at turns. You've got shooters. You've got old guys. You've got just normal people. And then it's like suddenly, you know, you have the legends type of guys, like your Marufuji, Sugira, the old guards or whatever. It's just, there's so much going on every show. It's like all different things, and it's not cohesive
yeah.
as a promotion.
It doesn't have the same identity that like 2000s Noah had, where it was a tight-knit roster, where you knew the style, where you knew the mission, where you knew the theme of the company, and it was rooted in this like departure from All Japan and betting on yourself and showing strength through adversity and the King's Road. That was all like so tangible back then. And now like what I've really just come to realize is like they're a very corporate company. Like, you know how sometimes corporations have that like branding that's great, but it feels a little like soulless or like it's designed to make you like it. And they're a very corporate company that's booked by Nosawa Rangai, who is a super unique character. A super interesting guy in wrestling. And so when you think of it that way, you're like, oh man, like this kind of makes sense. Like it's a corporation that has a bunch of money to spend and they're giving it to Nosawa to be like, hey, Nosawa and Marufuji and whoever else is in the mix, come up with what you want to do. And like sometimes they hit and sometimes they miss. And like I, you know, the match quality will always like keep me there because that's like what I look for in pro wrestling. That's why I'm a fan of pro wrestling and they always will deliver that for me. Like I know you're going to be amped. Timothy Thatcher is probably going to be in the N1. We're going to get some great, you know, like we're going to get Hideki matches. We're going to get like just good stuff and it's going to be awesome. But then like, I wouldn't be surprised if like Psycho Clown is in and I would be excited for that, but it would be like, this makes no sense. This is so random.
What like, about Nate the Clown?
Maybe they booked the wrong clown. Like, I don't know. Cause Psycho Clown's really good. Dave the Clown. I'm not the biggest fan.
He has overachieved among any dreams he could have had for his career. Cause I've been watching that guy for years and years. And it's like,
yeah.
When he came up, I was like, This is insane. Like, this is insane. How could this happen?
It's so weird. Like, it's such a hodgepodge of things. And then I think, like, ultimately, I'm really curious to see what happens with the N1 because if Kaito's not in it, it's very wide open. I do think, like, I still think the biggest money match that they can put on, like, if you want to book backwards from, like, Budokan on the first of 2024. The only match I could think of is Go Shiozaki versus Kaito Kiyomiya for like, who's the real ace of Noah. I can't think of anything else.
Man, and how would they get to that with how things are right now?
I think maybe Go wins the title, after winning the N1 and Kaito comes back from the G1 and says, I beat Sonata, I beat Okada, whatever. I'm a new person and I'm here to take the arc. That's what I would do. That's probably not what will happen. I don't know what they could do.
I don't know what will happen though.
That's the thing. Like I have no clue what else they could kind of do. What other direction can they go in? So it's interesting, but it's just like, yeah.
What if Okada and Kaito happens on the New Year's show instead of the Wrestle Kingdom? That's the main event.
If Kaito wins, then yeah, I mean,
that's a good way to do it.
I mean, like, I wouldn't trust them to even do that right, you know? Like,
yeah, that's true.
I've been adamant that there's like a point to this Kaito story for years now, and like, we definitely haven't gotten any returns on that. I do think like the Muto thing was like, I still like can push back on that a little bit. I think him getting associated with Muto is probably good for him in the long run. If I could have done it differently, I would have done it differently, but it is what it is. The company revolves around him. if he like jumps to New Japan, then we're in real dire straits.
That was my question. Yeah, that was actually my last question. It didn't get asked, but we've seen Okada talked about there should be people transferring, like a transfer or something like that. And he is basically who everyone pointed to, especially now since he's working the G1. And I think that changes a lot of things, to be honest with you. If Kaito went to New Japan, I mean, the thing is, they booked him so bad that I actually think he doesn't actually mean that much, to be honest with you. Like, to the company, I'm not interested in anything he does. Like, when he lost that title, he's been a bench player. And I don't think the company's been worse off for it, to be honest with you. I think that the Muto stuff was like, I really think that was really bad, to be honest, and very damaging. Kind of the same way, if I could go back and say, okay, instead of how they did it, the options are that, or he just never wrestles Muto, then I would pick the second option, like, easily. And I think he'd be, like, so much better off. Like, let's say, I mean, imagine if, like, Kenno was in that role versus Muto. I think he'd be so worse off now, like, than doing what he's doing. And I said it for anybody. Like, I don't think any wrestler on that roster would be the same other than how they would do it. And I think now there's no way you could say that he is as good as Okada or Kento. And, like, from the common fan perspective, as a wrestler, I actually think he's better than both of them. But from the ace perspective, everything you've done, this is what my main complaint about him for the last few years has been.
Yeah.
He should be held at the standard of Okada. Like, would Okada do X? Like, would Okada lose to Muto? No. Would he lose to Muto twice? Hell no. You know, it's like, that's how he should have been handled by the company. Unfortunately, that clearly didn't happen. And I think the February match was like the culmination and just like a terrible, terrible thing for him. And we hope that they can bring it back to that. But like I said, right now, I don't feel like he's that big of a star to the company, in all honesty, like to the fans. I mean, to me, he's a draw to me because I like his wrestling so much. And he is kind of like, despite everything, he's basically all they have to be a protagonist type of guy.
Yeah, I mean, they put him in these spots all the time. You know, he's the one in the main event at All Together. And he's the one that the director, Takedo, he said that he wants Kaito to be the one to lead them to the Tokyo Dome. And he's on the cover of the magazines and doing the press. But you're right that they haven't booked him in the ring to be that person.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, if you compare him to Inamura, like, obviously he's way bigger, which would kind of be like the next guy, right? Like, if you were to say, let's say Kaito leaves.
Oh, man.
Who would be that guy?
I mean it's like, if I was in, you know, if it's my company, right? Like, I would just do to Ozawa what All Japan's done with Yuma Anzai. I think Anzai's better. I think he's much better. But I think like a lot of it is like perception. Like if Noah was telling us that Ozawa was a super rookie, I think we'd be like, yeah, like I could see it. Like he could be a super rookie. You have to like make the fans believe sometimes.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Like I said, compare when Kaito came back, he sold out like immediately.
Yeah.
Like his first match. Like people were into that. There was a lot that came to it, but I mean, things got progressively bigger arenas as they went along. They had their first Sumo Hall show back when it was him versus Kenno again. You have a strong rivalry with him. If you were to do something like that, I totally agree with you about Anzai. I mean, he's great. Everyone loves him. Everyone knew he was great right away. But I totally agree. Them pushing him has helped everybody's perception. If he was just doing what Ryo Inoue was doing, he wouldn't be looked at the same way, you know, at the end of the day. And I think the same could be done with somebody like an Ozawa, but they need to get on it, I would say, if they are planning it. They need to, actually, because there's just, like there's nobody else at this point. Even Inamura is in his 30s. Like, we were talking about Kenya Okada. He's 30. Like, Inamura's turning 30. So it's like, these guys are not old, but they're not rookies either. And to keep using that way only does damage. And Kiyomiya is their one guy that's like young, has credibility somewhat, even though it's gone by. Because like you said, they do stuff for him. It's not like he's totally left out to dry.
Yeah.
But it kind of hurts him in the same way that he is supposed to be the ace. He's not supposed to be a normal guy. He's supposed to be the main guy. And I think that also hurts him as well. So I don't think he's going to jump, though, to be honest with you. I'd be pretty surprised if that happened.
Yeah, I don't think New Japan really has an interest in it, to be honest. Like, they've passed on so many different guys that they could have poached over the last 3 to 4 years because they want to prioritize their own talent. They want to shape people from the ground up. I think this Kaito thing is Cyber Fight paying Bushiroad a lot of money to get their W back.
I can buy it.
That's my theory. And I think that that's, you got to do that if you're Cyber Fight. You have to be like, what does it cost for us to buy this W back? Because that basically really need it.
Like I kind of said at the start, like that's like stopping the bleeding for Kaito.
Exactly.
At this point.
Yeah. And then, you know what? If 2024 is the year where they start to, like, maybe this is the final time where they do have a Kaito title reign where he is he's the man and he's the dude, like you said, and he's just having all these great defenses.
Yeah.
And they have talent around that are 30 years old. You know, they have Nakajima, who's a veteran, obviously, and, you know, maybe he won't last as long because he's been wrestling for so long, but he's still only like 33, I think.
Yeah, true.
You got Kidamiya, you got Inamura, you got Ozawa.
Talent level is very high.
Yeah, and then you got, you know, Hideki is older, but he's pretty fresh because he hasn't wrestled a lot in his career.
Yep.
You got Wagner, and you got Morris. You know, is Thatcher going to stick around? Like, you have some pieces to play with that are, and that's not, you know, counting the older generation of guys like Shiozaki and Marufuji and Sugiura and these guys that are, you know, can still go for a couple years if you tap them on the shoulder. You know, hey, here's your big match this year. You got to do it. Marufuji can pull that out probably one or two more times. Shiozaki, I think, has more in the tank. And then Kenno is like 36 or 37. So, like, this piece is there. It's just how they use them. And they haven't done a great job over the last few years of really moving anyone in a direction that matters. It's a lot of just, like, shuffling the deck. They need to start, like, making plays. And I'm hoping that this Kaito G1 run is the first of, like, a better direction for them. But if he goes, like, 4-3 in job, it's going to be pretty rough.
Yeah, that will not be a positive experience, for sure. But that said, that's about it for this. We had a lot to say about all three companies. We kind of covered, like, the whole world of the main three companies right now on the show.
Yeah.
It started out as an all-out conversation, now we're all-together conversation, and we're talking about all this other stuff as well. So that's a lot of fun. Thank you for coming on, Dean. Do you have any last words for everybody, and plug anything you would like?
No, I mean, thanks for having me. I really just love, you know, chatting about Japanese wrestling with you. It's always really exciting, and I'm, you know, really curious. What are you guys doing for the half-year awards? I always love that episode. It's one of my favorite ones that you guys do.
Yeah, we're definitely got something in mind. That's going to be a surprise. He's away right now. I actually messaged him. He never responded to me, to be honest with you. He's trying to big-time me, I think, a little. But we're going to do something for it. I have a plan in place. I don't know if he's down for it, though. But it'll happen in July at some point. That's
awesome.
We could definitely say one of our favorite episodes.
Yeah, it's always great. But just thank you. If you want to find me on Twitter, I'm DNMT67. You're talking about Noah and stuff, and just thanks a lot, Dylan. It's a great time, and always love chatting with you.
And I love having you on, man. It's great to talk to you again. Thank you for bringing your knowledge of Noah and your perspective as well. I really appreciated that on this show.
Thanks.
Hopefully everybody enjoyed it. Hopefully everybody enjoyed All Together again. Hopefully everybody enjoys Noah, New Japan, All Japan, all kinds of Japanese wrestling. There's lots of stuff going on. Striga will very likely be back next time. I think we may do a show before the half-year awards, but maybe not. It depends on what's going to happen. I'll have to look at my schedule, and maybe I'll pull something else out. I don't know. But regardless of that, as always, keep your eyes peeled. Check us out on Twitter at Eastern Lariat. Check me out at Viva_Zero. Just check out all the good wrestling going on right now in the world. As always, you know I love you. And until next time, sayonara.